Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire, neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show. Radio show, even. Broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio show. The voice of the EDL. And my co-host of the show tonight is our very own, the producer of the show, should I say, and the co-host. To boot, she's a very busy lady, is our very own Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox blogger, a.k.a. Jeff Loves Ken. I'm scratching my head there.
There's an explanation for that.
Well, there you go. I'm sure that you will engage us with what that's all about, then, Kelly. Well, I tell you what, we have
ladies
also...
And gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, Ken McClinton of The Exceptional Conservative is one of my favorite shows that I go to. And I was listening to a program called Far Right No Apologies, another one of my favorite shows. And what I was doing, I was doing what I usually do. I was engaging in multitasking. And so I had two windows open. And when Far Right No Apologies ended, I went to the Exceptional Conservative show, and I'm there and I'm typing away and saying hello to everybody, and as I'm wont to do with Ken, I say, Ken, love you, and I give him a flower, and he wasn't responding, and I was thinking, well, what's wrong with him? What's going on here? And Holger of Holger Awakened was in the chat room, and he said that Jeff! I'm like, what? Jeff is here? So I'm looking in the sidebar, and I'm, where's Jeff? Jeff is here? And then I realized, oh, my God, BTR had flipped me over as EDL Radio. It's like, oh, my God, now here we go. Jeff, you're a girly man, and you have flowers, and you love Ken.
My goodness, you get me, Kelly. You get me in all sorts of trouble. You do, young lady. Guys,
Jeff,
I don't go chasing after guys. I really don't. I really, really don't.
No, I felt awful. It was like, oh, my apologies. It's Kel. I will be right back. And I had to log out of your account and get back into my account. Jeff, I had no idea that BTR flipped me automatically over.
You do put me in some embarrassing positions here, the young lady. not to mind doing either. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, you know what? If I pop in there sometime, he's probably going to pop out.
I was wondering why he wasn't responding to my Ken, I love you.
No.
But, hey,
no.
But according to Ken McClinton, you are now a girly man with a rose beside
your
moniker,
nice,
and you love Ken.
Well, there you go. Well, my goodness me, not only am I an acrophobic, whatever. I'm an ethophoban. My goodness me. Oh, well. Just another feather in my cap, I suppose, isn't it, girl, you know? But, I've just noticed he's looking very sleek tonight. This is the cat himself, Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton. Did you see the way he come through the cat flap tonight?
We should let him in because unless he belongs to the girly man club, I don't think we should let that slinky cat in here.
Oh, well, I tell you what, you know, after reading today's story about Peter Tatchell and him teaming up with Tell Mama, can you believe that? Peter Tatchell, himself. Yeah, absolutely way. Peter Tatchell, the man's man himself, the guy who was narrowly pipped to the post as the star for Terminator 2. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger beat him to it, but only just. He's teamed up with Tell Mama UK, and he's now their new patron, Peter Tatchell. And, of course, we all know what... Islam thinks of people who swing the other way, you might say. And I can't think what Peter Tatchell's actually doing, but there it is, yes.
Well, the last time Peter Tatchell had anything to do with, he was opposing the EDL and he was standing amongst Muslims who made him feel really, really uncomfortable. I think they were threatening him and threatening to kick the shit out of him, excuse my language.
Oh, well.
And that was at Sal Hamlet's. And there he is. He goes back for more. So you can really say that the cat, the first fly now then, Tim, by the sounds of it.
Well, I'm going to post this link. Yeah, I'm going to post this link into the in the chat room, and you can have a look. But yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, he's the last person I would have thought who would want to become a patron of such a discredited bunch of mendacious, grievance mongering Takiya artists. Oh, where have I heard that phrase before?
I don't know, Tim.
But maybe he wants that notoriety. Maybe he thinks that he likes that and he'd like that label to be put on himself.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, how come? How come I'm not a mendacious, grievance-mongering Takiya artist? I know. I'll become patron of Tell Mama, and then they'll have to make me one. They'll have to make me a mendacious, grievance-mongering Takiya artist. So that's That's probably what it's all about.
as I say, the fur's going to fly now, Tim, by the sounds of it, mate. You got your claws sharp now, son, isn't
it? Well, I mean, it's absolutely... It's absolutely crazy. I cannot see what he could possibly gain from such an alignment. But here we go. I've just found the link, and I'm just about
amazing.
To drop it through now. But yeah, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. That's what I say. Peter Tatchell.
Very strange bedfellows, would you say? But then again, you don't know that this. that person. He might quite fancy Peter Tatchell sort of thing, so you don't know, do you? You know, the closet thing and all that, like, you know.
Well, Fiaz Miguel, do you know, well, I knew he was into goats, but I didn't think he was into the like.
Yeah, well,
Peter
you know
Tatchell.
That for sure.
Well, yeah, because, you know.
Well, you nicked your sausages managed... that time, wouldn't it? No, the pork thing, wouldn't it?
The pork chops, yeah, I managed to steal chops while he was attending to...
He was shagging that goat in the corner, wasn't he?
He was shagging a goat in the corner. He had his back to me, so I nicked his pork chops and hot-footed it out of the window. So, I can't think that he'd be interested.
Well, if I'd have caught him doing that, actually, Tim, what I'd have done is put one of those sausages in the appropriate position of his rectum.
Oh, Jeff, you are awful.
Yeah, but he would have liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm being a naughty English Defence League radio host tonight, aren't I, Tim?
You are indeed. The link that I put into the chat room was from Fahrenheit 211, which is more more commentary. I've got a reference from Pink News. So you can have a look at that too. And I'm just going to drop that into the chat room now. Here it goes. There you go.
Thank you, Tim. And I just noticed Agador's that made a comment there. Jeff brings a new meaning to the term strange bedfellows.
How's that tarantula of yours doing?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
That's a cracking picture of a spider you have on the web page there. I wonder how it could have got there. I haven't got any idea. Have you, Kel? I haven't got any idea how that's got there.
Yes, Kel. Kel can't be
the I found it in the corner of Jeff's bedroom, and I felt so sorry for the little girl. And so I gently placed her on Jeff's pillow so that she would have a comfortable place to lay her eggs and have her babies.
She'll have her eggs in my ear hole, probably. And my ear be running alive with spiders. Thank you, Kelt. Yeah, it's Agador, ain't it? That's evil, isn't it, mate? That's totally evil. So, what can I say? Ladies and gentlemen, You can hear the way that this poor radio host has to suffer. The indignity, because I don't like spiders. People gang up on me. You know, I've not just got like the, you know, being an ismophobe and acrophobe. Now I've got people wanting to put spiders on my pillow. For goodness sake. My goodness,
well, I
mate.
Gently placed it.
Now, Agatha's asking, what is an ismophobe? Ismophobe. And Tim, maybe you would like to elaborate a little bit on the term, because we know it's a term which we hear quite a lot, don't we? They bandy it around here, there, and everywhere. So maybe you can just clarify that a little bit with our dear friend Agatha.
An ismophobe. Well, I suppose that's when you get really worried about people coming up to you and saying, "Is my phobe looking big in this?" But you know, I can't think what. That's the first thing that popped into my head. I know it's not very good. But I'll, you know, leave it with me. I'll work on it. But yeah, I suppose it's like an Islamophobe, but without any L in it. So I suppose, you know, a bit like a sort
get
of
bloody words, Tim.
Yeah, a bit like a Christmas Islamophobe, as in Noel, Noel.
Central, is it? Not tonight.
Oh, it could be. It could be, Jeff. We could be here a day early. You never know.
I've got Ecuador saying, because a slow ismophobe gets caught by the Sharia patrols or something. Yes, that's right. I'm following what Ecuador's saying in the chat there. So a fast ismophobe, he says, and then, of course, a slow ismophobe gets caught by the Sharia patrols. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to get caught by the Sharia patrols. It will make your eyes water.
No.
It will make your eyes water.
It certainly would.
I got caught by the Sharia patrols last week. Oh, my God.
Don't get caught by them.
No.
That's very nasty. But you know what, Timiko? I noticed the chat room is filling up fast and... Kel, I hope we got all the biscuits and the drinks and that there, because we got
I
a
do.
Chat room, Stephen.
I have the tea and I have the biscuits, and I am more than happy to pass about the teacups and
That's
the
lovely.
Coffee mugs and maybe the wine glasses, depending on where you are on the planet. And ladies and gentlemen, remember, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I have the tea, though, and I have the biscuits there, Jeff. And
silence! Oh, there you go.
I kill you!
Back. That little bugger!
Oh. Ackman got in here. Yeah. Oh, he's eating
you
all the...
It, guys?
He's eating all the biscuits. Get out, Ackman.
Get him out. Zap him. Kel, get the zapper. Zap him. Where's your zapper? That's it. Did you get him?
I got him.
Sorted. God,
he'll
that
be
curled
back,
you there a bit, didn't it, Kel?
Agador in the chat room says, tell him the biscuits are flavoured with pork.
Yes. Exactly, Agador. Don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, he's got such a bloody cheek. Come near every time, shouts out, silence, I kill you, and then he sits there, sits down and starts eating our biscuits. Can you believe
it?
It's disgraceful.
And I'm leaving the show, gentlemen, because I'm going to Stanger's place. He's making gin and tonics. Bye, guys. See ya.
Well, I don't know. What do you think of that, Jeff? Hey, a gin and tonic, and she's straight off.
My goodness me.
That's terrible, isn't it? Terrible.
But What are we going to do with you, Kel? And you know the gin. Kel, leave the gin bottle alone. You know I'll put it in that special place. And she's going to found it again, Tim.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible. Do you know, I must tell you this. My other granddad, he died of drink, you know. Grandma shot him when she was smashed out of her brain. So to take a lesson from that, you know, drink can be fatal. So never mind, just carry on.
I've got Agador saying, make mine a small vodka. Oh, my God. People are asking for the rounds now.
I tell you what, Kel.
I wish Echo was here because Echo has the pontoon saloon, and he opens the pontoon saloon over there at Reactionary Speaks show. And I wish that Echo was here so that he would open the pontoon saloon.
Exactly. I've got Kel, I've got Daz here. I've got, welcome, Daz, to the show, bruv. We've got Daz at EDL. Vodka and Coke, please. See what I'm saying? My goodness me. We need bar staff.
What about Kel, a nice Molson Canadian, eh?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I could do with a nice little Canadian.
What's it like?
I have one in mind.
Yes, I bet you had. I bet you had, my old son.
Yes.
But anyway, what I was going to say is, now, our Sonny's got a case tomorrow, and my thoughts are firmly with that young man tomorrow. With 10 other of our patriots is at Birmingham, the magistrates' court tomorrow. And I think, Tim, that you've made appropriate plans to be there for tomorrow.
I'm going to drop in and just introduce myself and say hello and just add a bit of support at the back of the court. So yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
That's great. But I hope it. Well, just all you just got to hope that it goes well for Sonny and the rest of the lads. These drummed up charges. And have we seen any of the opposition in the same positions? No, it's quite obvious that they just want to go after the Patriots and spent a little bit of time doing it, but it's out of order, isn't it, you know?
Well, it is. I mean, as I understand it, Jeff, what's going to happen tomorrow is he's got his preliminary hearing, at which point the magistrates will probably say to him that they're going to refer it to Crown Court and they'll adjourn it for another day. So it's probably not going to take very long for that appearance to take place. What I think is going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if it's the same for everybody. I know from my own experience that if the magistrates consider that they don't have the powers to hand down the appropriate punishment in the event of somebody being found guilty, then they do kick it upwards to the Crown Court. So that's what I believe is happening tomorrow. So Sonny shouldn't actually be in the courtroom for too long. Depending on, well, I don't know whether there are other factors, but it sounded to me when we were talking about it the other night that was what's going to happen. So we'll probably get another date out of the magistrates' courts tomorrow morning.
I think the other lads are appearing on the same charge. I think that's what Sonny said, didn't he, Kel? Said that the rest of the lads are appearing on the same charge.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong, but I feel that they've all been charged with basically the same thing. My thoughts and my prayers go out to them all because it just seems so unfair
it does. I mean, I suppose the one thing is that if you get to appear before a jury, then at least you do have a chance to put your side of the case, and it's not as though you've just got the three magistrates giving you the giving you the sentence or the verdict. You actually have to be tried by 12 of your peers. Agador's just asked me to remind him in the chat room. You, in a crown court, you do indeed have a judge and 12 members of a jury, which you don't get in a magistrate's court. In a magistrate's court, you just have three magistrates on the bench. Well, it's typically three magistrates. One with the bottle of whiskey and the other two holding him up straight. You're guilty. You're guilty. Now, steady on. Just take another swig of that whiskey. He's guilty. No. We've got to listen to the evidence. He's guilty. So they've got the one in the middle swigging the bottle of whiskey, the other two standing either side of him, holding him up straight. And so that's the way that good old British justice.
They might be Muslims, though. They might be Muslims magistrates, though, because we heard there's a lot... Not up that end of the country, me old son.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard they've scheduled three of them for April the 8th. So that'd be really good, that one. I should walk in that courtroom and there'll be like three prayer mats set out at the top of the court.
Oh,
and they'll
don't.
Be going, oh, no.
You in the background, oh, lol. You know, all that crap that they know.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so Mr. Burton, you're being tried. This is not the traditional British court. This is a Sharia court. And can we check your hands? Because we might need to remove some of your things. And we like to remove those as well. Can we look at your feet?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mr. Burton, how many hands have you got? Two?
Silence! I kill you! Oh, my God, it's one of the magistrates, Tim. He's here. Oh, my God, Tim.
Yeah, that's it. Ahmed will be up there on the bench.
That's Mark Jacob, me old Sam.
Yeah. I bet he'll be there when I walk in. He'll be there at Ahmed.
Do you know what, Tim? We've got a great gentleman here. I was talking to him earlier when we was having a little conference. I actually called Kel, but Agador was having a Skype call with our Kel. And so what I'm going to do, this young man wants to come in and say a few words. So with that, Agador, welcome to the show. You're live. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else.
Good evening. Hi,
Agador. Hi. I'm getting a deja vu feeling, Kel. I don't understand this. But anyway.
I don't know why. It seemed like we talked just like yesterday, but I think it's
something.
Been sooner than that.
Yeah.
No, I think it was
weird.
Less than that, Kel. 3 hours ago.
No, you know, I'm just in here showing my support. For Sonny and Tim and all these people going up against this madness. And, Eric pointed out to me, going to a crown court might be a good thing or a bad thing, because, yes, you get tried by a jury of your peers, but if you're found guilty, the sentences are longer. I'm honestly just hoping that, it'll be a quick in-and-out thing for these guys, and they just throw the whole thing out for them. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Me too, mate. Me too, Agador. You know, but we do know that the political correctness is playing a big part in a lot of our patriots being brought to court and that. It's simply the word from the top is try and crush the EDL, whatever ways and means, and bring them in and take them down, and that's as David Cameron said before. He thinks we're a sickness. He thinks anybody associated with the English Defence League, that is people like yourself, Agador, people like Akel, people like Tim, anybody that's associated with what we do, we're all a sickness in his eyes. And it's quite obvious that he's passed the word along to the hierarchy of the police. To do all they can do. And we do know that he had words saying he wants to destroy the EDL. He said that in quiet talks with the think tank. You know this think tank that they have? He was in talks with them. about the situation and what the proposal is to do, or what they propose to do. And it seems that this has been put into effect now, what we're seeing with these young, you know, especially our young Sonny, been taken to task, and people, you know, the other 10 guys that's involved. And don't forget, there was some that was already being charged, and a few of them are in prison now. So it does seem that, Cameron's plan and the policies, what he wants is to just totally dismantle and bring us down. But just a throwback to you, Cameron, if you're listening, or any of your cronies listening, you can try to do all you possibly can. But I'll tell you what, we'll be around a lot longer than you or your government. Take my word for it. So no matter what you do or try to do, the think tank trying to do this. You see, Cameron, people like yourself, you think you've got support, but we've got more support than you. And it's quite obvious, and we've got global support. So I'm just putting that out there, because you never know, do you, Kel and Tim and Agador, that we might have some of their cronies listening, and I just want to get that message back to them.
Well, I'm quite sure that David Cameron tunes in personally every Thursday evening just to keep himself up to date on what's happening in the world, you know. Well, I must just check to see what the English Defence League are up to. Oh my goodness, they're talking about me. Oh my goodness.
My ears are burning. I better tune in. Is that just again? He's putting me down again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in that case, you know, hey Cameron, get stuffed.
Tim, you put your 10 pence worth in as well. Go on, Tim.
Well, David Cameron, I just wanted to say you're one of the most admired prime ministers we've had this century.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Well, look, hang on. I mean, I am applying for the job as Downing Street cat, so you know we have got to get on.
Meow.
Yeah. I'm hoping. Yeah, that's right. I'm hoping to get a lifetime supply of cat biscuits out of this. So I am going to.
Oh
have to
my
be quite
goodness me!
Here, Timmy.
What would you tell your words to David Cameron if his cronies listening? And what would you like to say to Cameron and that government?
How much time do we have on this program?
Good old giggling.
David Cameron, get your ass out of 10 Downing Street, please. You are offering nothing more than a disservice to the peoples of England. Get lost. We don't like you. Get out. Bye-bye. And take your daughters to your ivory tower where you are assured that they will not be raped and molested by the Islamic infiltration. Bye, David Cameron. Bye-bye. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
Well, let me say something.
There you go. And he's got some support. He's got some support that says that we want him out.
I think Agador's got a word he wants to say, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, very, very, very quickly, Jeff. Thank you. Very quickly. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, get stuffed is a feeling, but on a serious note, all right, Mr. Cameron, you say the EDL is sick. All right. I want you to look at the pictures of those children that were killed in that boarding school in Nigeria by those Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that horror. That, sir, is sick. Not an organization of people welcomed by their own people in the United Kingdom who are working against people like the filth that created that horror in Nigeria. That stuff is sick, Mr. Cameron, not these good people.
Thank you, Agador, and that's well appreciated. And that is the case, isn't it, what we've seen with some of the horrific pictures that we've seen in Nigeria, not just Nigeria, but you know that the thing that I always go back to is what happened at that Russian school with those with those Chechen Islamists. It was... it's the most horrific thing. This young kid is being slaughtered by these car animals. Absolutely unforgivable, unbelievable, that you could want to hurt a child, for goodness sake. But these people did. They just actually butchered You know, and he calls us sick. He calls us sick. We fight against these. You know, we're not scared to fight against these people, this ideology. That's why we're here. Just because you, Cameron, are too scared to speak out and say what's really going on, we are not afraid to do it. That's why we are here. We are a pressure group. We will continue to keep the pressure up because all the time people like you do not acknowledge that we have got serious issues with this cult called Islam. The better for this country once people like yourself acknowledge it. Until you do, this country will still have to be doing, we still will have to do what we've been doing for 5 years. We're still going to fight and to do the right things for the people of this country, even though you don't want to do it. You get paid big money, and you do a crap job. This country needs leaders, not appeasers. Anyway, as we all know, I don't like David Cameron very much.
I think your love for Mr. Cameron probably equals my love for President Obama.
I was thinking that. Yeah, it is that case. I mean, because as Cal and Tim knows, you know, my thing was just when he said that, you know, about the EDL being there's none sicker than the EDL. After all the riots that was going on in this country, how could you see this country, what state it was in, and the police lost control? It was totally diabolical. And of course, David Cameron swanning around in a getting an extra day sun before he decided to return home, while this country was burning. It was, you know, you know what I was thinking at the time? This was like Rome was burning and Nero was fiddling. That was the sort of scenario that I thought with that person. He'd done the same thing as what Nero did, as Rome burned. And then he come back, and then he made a few crap statements, and then the police commissioner lost his job, didn't he? It was just unbelievable. But yeah, we went over that the other night, though, didn't we? Quite in depth, actually, some of the things that we discussed about it. But anyway, I've done my once again attacking the government in the week. Policies against the situation in this country. We'll continue to do it until they change their ways, girl. It's the only thing that we can do, isn't it?
That's right.
So, anyway, what else did
we have a question from the chat room. We have a question from the chat room, and this comes from Vito Esposito, or as you like to call him, Jeff, Vito Esposito. This is a question for Tim, and this is a very, very serious question, actually. Vito wants to know, Tim, when you broke your violin, were there strings attached?
Yeah. very good. Oh, dear, very good. Yeah, it's a sad story, but true. My mother, I'm sure it was my mother who sabotaged my violin case because she didn't like my violin playing. And I used to ride to and from school on my bicycle when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And I used to balance the violin case on the handlebar of my bicycle. And one day, on my way to school, the case burst open, the violin fell out onto the road, and it was squashed by a passing vehicle. And Agador in the chat room, he says, "Dang!" And I said, "Not so much dang as crunch, crunch, ping!" And it was, I had to scroll, I was traumatised, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, because it wasn't my violin. Well, it's right. You know, it's one of these things where your entire life flashes before your eyes, and I think, what am I going to tell the violin teacher at school? Because it was the school violin. And, well, not the school violin. You know, they did have several. But I had to take this thing to school, and I was trembling all day, wondering what I was going to say to the violin teacher. And the time came for the violin lesson, and she said, "Right, class, open up your violin cases." And I opened up my violin case, and there was this pile of matchwood in the bottom of the violin case. And she looked at it, And I looked at it, and she looked at me, and I said, it was like that when I put it in there. I don't know what made me say that. I don't know what made me say that. So, oh, dear, how traumatic that was. I haven't played a violin from that day to this.
No, it's something you've had to... But the thing about it, though, Tim, is, ladies and gentlemen, you might remember a show going back a little while ago, but Tim, he's learned to play another thing very similar to the violin, a guitar, and he doesn't play it too bad. I think we quite enjoyed that little thing that you done. What was it, a few weeks ago now, wasn't it? Probably about a month ago now, Tim.
Yeah, and, yeah. I had a couple of little tunes up my sleeve for you. I remember that.
Yes. Have you got anything else, Tim, that, you know, our listeners, have you got anything in the pipeline
I've got a couple of things in the pipeline, but nothing that's really quite ready for public consumption. But I've been working on the dodgy fatwa song. So,
dodgy fatwa. Yeah.
I can give you a little bit of that later on if you like.
Yeah.
The big problem I have is with the microphone here. It's not really designed to transmit guitar frequencies, and it doesn't come over very well. The idea behind the dodgy fatwa song came to me when I was chatting to a Muslim friend of mine, and he said, "Hello, we have some music in the background." No, he didn't say that. Can you? Is that me or is that somebody else? Playing music.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway.
That's the world's loudest violin.
Yeah, anyway, he said to me.
Okay, I'll knock it off.
Well, that's exactly how my violin playing used to sound. But, Yeah,
but
the,
don't you wish it had sounded a bit like that, Tim? At least you muffled when you did
die. Well, yeah, I mean, that actually sounded slightly better than what I was used to playing when I was at school. But, yeah, since then I've done a bit of work on the guitar, and I've got a couple of tunes that I really want to put onto an MP3 and send along to Kel so that she can work them into the program. Because the trouble with trying to play them live is that the microphone that I use on my headset is optimized for voice frequencies, which is fine, except when you're trying to play a guitar.
When you played before, it didn't sound too bad, did it, when he done that? Hell, did it?
Yeah, I think what I did then...
Well, he can certainly play the guitar beautifully, and I can attest to that because Tim and myself were actually working on a charity song for Dr. Bill Warner and his website, and so we're working on something together. And yes, Tim can absolutely play a beautiful guitar.
Well, that's very kind.
Well, there you
go.
Your violin broke. Led you in a different direction, and you took up to playing the guitar, Tim. And as I've heard you don't sound too bad either, mate.
Well, it's good of you to say so. I mean, my favourite is still the dodgy fatwa song, which of course came about through chatting to a Muslim friend of mine. And I said, well, if Islam
the dodgy fatwa.
Yeah. If Islam is a religion of peace, I said, how come, you know, we see all this chaos and mayhem around the world? And he said, well, it's all down to dodgy fatwas. And I said, excuse me, did you just say dodgy fatwas? And he says, yeah. He says, what happens, he says, these imams, he says, they're not all they're cracked up to be. He says, before they come into the mosque, you know, he says, they're often, they're around the back of the mosque, you know, and they're drinking the lighter fluid and sniffing the cocaine. When they get into the mosque and give their sermons, you know, they're all completely tanked up and out their heads, and they don't know what they're talking about. So they issue these dodgy fatwas, and that's how Islam gets a bad name. And I thought, that's amazing, that is. I never have thought of that myself. So I made a song up about it, which is called Gimme That Dodgy Fatwa. And I'll just
give
play
me that dodgy fat.
Go on, Tim. Our listeners.
I'm such a fan. I'm such a
go
fan.
Go on, Tim.
Give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be alright. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa.
Dodgy
times are
right.
Yeah, dodgy fatwa, all the rage. Take you back to the Stone Age. Give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be alright. And I said to him, well, you know, if Islam is so great, I said, well, what about, you know, that bit in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34, where it says you've got to beat your women up? And he says, oh, no, he says, all down to dodgy fatwas. And I said, dodgy fatwas? Yeah, dodgy fatwas. I thought, that's brilliant, that is. So I wrote a verse about that as well. So give me that dodgy fatwa. Things going to be all right. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa. 2-3 times a night.
Woo-hoo.
If the woman gives you some back chat, just smack her on the head with a baseball bat. Give me that dodgy fatwa. It's gonna be alright. Yeah, give me that
dodgy fatwa. And of course, I'm going to do the backing vocals, and we're taking this to 72 Virgins website, and we are going to turn it into a number one hit.
You guys got to turn that into a hit. That'll shoot right after the top of the charts.
It would, wouldn't it, Agatha? I've got to agree. He's a very talented man, Tim. Tim, you've got another verse for that, haven't you? You definitely got another verse. I'm sure you've done another one.
I'll play the other verse. It all came about through. There was two other verses actually. One came about through my asking him. Well, what is about that bit in the Quran, chapter 9, verse 29? Telling you all about slaughtering Jews and Christians. He says, oh, no, dodgy fatwas all the way. So I said, oh, great, dodgy fatwas, eh? Here we go. Ah, oh, give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be all right. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa. 2-3 times a night. If Jews and Christians make you bored, just cut off their heads with a great big sword. Ah, give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be all right.
So, do you know what, Tim? I've got Eric saying, he can smell a little bit of carrot there. You've got the Jasper character, a sort of a twang to it, brother.
Oh,
and, there's no wrong in that, mate.
Well, no, that's right. Jasper Carrot was one of my favourite comedians in his heyday, because of course he comes from around this area, so I suppose I probably picked up a little bit of accent from him. That's right. The other one, of course, is what the Quran tells you to do with gay people. And I said, you know, the Quran's always on about slaughtering gay people wherever you come across them. I can't remember what the verse or the hadith reference is, which I'll have to look it up. But he says it's all down to dodgy fatwas. I said, dodgy fatwas? Right, okay. Ah, oh, give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be all right. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa. 2-3 times a night. If homosexuals make you barf, just throw them off a mountain just for a laugh. Oh, give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be all right. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa. Things gonna be all right.
Absolute. Ladies and gentlemen, Cal, give him a round of applause. We got there's got to be an applause there. That's brilliant. Have we got the applause there, Cal?
Well, that's as far as I've got with that. Well, no, it's not quite as far as I've got with that. I had a verse to round it up, which was give us that dodgy fatwa 2-3 times a night. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa 2-3 times a night. Wonders they will never cease. Islam really is a religion of peace. Now give me that dodgy fatwa. It's gonna be all right.
That admirable response and a spontaneous applause from the world, Tim.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it would definitely sound better if I could get it properly recorded onto an MP3 and send it along to Cal, because, like I say, on the on this microphone, it's just not that good. But never mind, I shall work on that. And
well, I think everybody that's listened to that tonight thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, everybody's laughing in the chat room, and I could hear Agador having a bit of a giggle there, couldn't I, Ag?
Well, I got to say, I got to say, Tim will definitely be headlining at Infidel Age, you know.
Infidel Age, yeah, that's
yes.
Hey, you know, move over to Live Aid, Band Aid, you know, Gatorade, all these other things. Yeah, yeah, Infidel Aid, yeah.
Yeah, let's see.
Dad
Bob
said in the chat room, Dad's EDL says, put it on YouTube, Tim. He said, that's what you should do, bruv.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can see Bob Geldof there with Infidel Aid. Give us your bloody money. Give us your money.
Yes. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But, no, that was really good, Tim, and I know our listeners out there really appreciate that. You definitely are definitely a talented man with the way that you can just put words to the things that you have a chat to one of these Muslims and you come up with a tune like that. It's brilliant.
Well, it was just such a funny concept. I mean, you know, dodgy fatwas. Yeah, yeah, that'll work. Dodgy fatwas, yeah. And now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
So, dodgy fatwas, yeah. So, but yeah, there's more in the pipeline. So I'll try and
Tim, Eric, uh-huh. Kyle in the chat room wants to know when he can purchase his tickets when you perform at Albert Hall.
Oh, don't you worry. If I get to the Albert Hall, everybody listening in the studio now will get free tickets. Without you, don't have to worry about that.
Well, there you go. That's what I say, you know, we do like to do things a little bit, as you say, we never know when we do this show exactly how it's going to pan out and how talented some of our, the panel is. As I say, Tim Show, he's talented. Well, Kel, you've got your hidden talents. Kel can sing a little bit as well, ladies and gentlemen.
Kel has a voice to die for. Really, I don't know, this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've heard Kel sing before, but you're talking real, real diamond singing voice there, Kel. And I'm not saying that just because we do radio programs together. I really think Kel has one of the best voices on the planet, and when she puts it to good use, I tell you, she makes me go weak at the knees. So I don't know what she'll do.
Oh. There you go, Kel. She's blushing now. Kel's blushing. Ain't you, Kel? I know you. Hey, Agador's saying, how about an infidel aid to raise money for legal defense of anti-jihadists? Agador, what a great... that's not a bad idea, is it, guys?
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea at all. I definitely, if we had something like that, I'd definitely come along and play for that. I might not be Albert Hall material, but, you know, I could stand up in a pub and play, so that's good enough. That's close enough.
Well, that's all it is. It's, it's really good what you do. It's entertaining. It gives us a bit of a laugh, but at the same time, it's got a serious aspect to it. It makes people think about what you're singing about, doesn't it, Tim?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I do sing, I like my songs to have a bit of a message. I did put together something for Bill Warner, but it's not something that I really wanted to put out in the public domain until I'd had a chance to work on it a little bit. I sent a copy to Kel, but the quality, the sound quality isn't really good enough for me to reproduce it. But it's to do with Bill Warner's project, which is called A Voice for the Voiceless, and it's a song which highlights Christian persecution in the Middle East. And I just sat up one night and I thought I'd just like to write something like this, and I wrote it and I sent it off to Kel, but I really need to do a more professional version. But when I do, we'll definitely put it out for the listeners on the show. Definitely,
it sounds absolutely brilliant, Tim. And I just say, ladies and gentlemen, as you see, we've got future talent that Tim is very busy on different projects there, and the same with Kel. You know, as I say, it's what makes it so interesting, because we never know, you know, from one week to the next exactly how things are going to pan out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you, the great listeners out there, would love to hear more of Tim with some of his material that he's
done.
Well,
I mean, to be fair, with that particular one that I was talking about, with Voice for the Voiceless, I'd actually envisaged it with Kel taking a lead in the singing, because she really has got an amazing singing voice. You know, I'm not messing about. I know I do play around a lot on these shows, but I'm not messing about here. Kel has an absolute golden voice, and
she
I thought
has, and,
perfect.
I was going to say,
Kel,
because as you know, I need to take a break. But I was going to say, once we take a break, maybe there's a song that Kel knows very well, and she sings it so great. It's called "Strangers on a Flight," and I was wondering, just after this, we're doing something a little bit different this evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we can show you some of the talent we got amongst our great co-host here on the show this evening. So, Kel, have we got something? And when we come back, maybe you could do that little song. I know, you know, we've probably
no,
put you on the spot.
No, yeah. You know what? If you need to hang up and call back in, I will entertain the crowd. And I have to back up Tim, because he has put me in the big
chair. Could you wait till I get back, though, Kel? Could you wait to do
your,
okay. I wouldn't hear you singing.
I'll wait until you get back.
So if we got a tune or something that we can, you know.
Yeah,
we
do. Actually, what we do have is a clip here, and this is regarding Tim.
Very good.
Here we go. Hey, people, we'll see you back here in 4 minutes.
In 2013, Mr. Tim Burton, on his Twitter page, Cat Strangler 101, called Fayaz Mughal the controller of a website that claims to record incidents of hate crime against Britain's Muslim population, a mendacious, grievous-mongering taqiya artist. Mr. Mughal, who has received hundreds of thousands of pounds from the British government, has been proven to have falsified the statistics that his organization, Tell Mama, used. But in the country where Tim Burton lives, telling the factual and provable truth has now become a criminal offense. But receiving hundreds of thousands of pounds from the British government to then misinform, deceive and lie to the British public has not. In Britain today, because of the laws created by politicians from all three of the main political parties, which are then enforced by the British police, the truth now seems to have become illegal. A country where a proven liar, like Faisal Mughal, can telephone the British police and have them arrest Tim Burton and charge him with racially aggravated harassment. Because Fayaz Mughal was simply offended by what Tim Burton had to say about him. Over the years, we have seen our politicians erode the British people's right to free speech with the reintroduction of blasphemy laws, making criticism of anyone's religious beliefs, no matter how offensive those religious beliefs are to the rest of the population, a criminal offence. But as with the case of Tim Burton, we are now living in a country where our right to free speech is, because of our politicians' decisions being eroded almost to the point of non-existence. We are increasingly not being allowed to express our own opinions on more and more subjects in this country. But in the case of Tim Burton and Faisal Mughal, we are now not even allowed to tell the truth without fear of being arrested by the British police. This is the country we live in today, but it is a country that I do not want to live in. A country created by today's politicians where a liar can have you arrested for telling the truth because the truth offends him. Britain's politicians, Britain's police, the Tell Mama organization, Fayaz Mughal, the truth is far more important to me than your feelings, your lies, and the laws that you have created to take away my right to free speech. So I will join Tim Burton in saying, mendacious grievance-mongering taqiya artist, and to hell with anyone's feelings. No matter what your political beliefs are, no matter what your religious beliefs are, and no matter what color your skin happens to be, I will not live in a country where having an opinion or telling the truth has become a criminal offense. And we must all help Tim Burton in this fight for freedom, free speech, and the truth.
And that goes for sunny England, too, who is facing the magistrate tomorrow in Birmingham. If you can be there and support sunny England, be there. And Jeff, hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. I was, ladies and gentlemen, I had a problem. I couldn't call back in for a second. I just quickly sent Kel a message, let her know I was having problems. But I called on the fourth time, Kel, and it I could get back in. So there you go. Just having a few problems.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me last week. It drove me absolutely batty. But you know who's here? And he's
just in time
because I was going to regale everybody with a song. And this happens to be one of his very favorite songs, and that's our very own Tommy English.
Oh, it's our very own Mr. English, Tommy English.
Hi, Tommy.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
How are you, buddy? Just got in from work,
I will tell you guys a very funny story. I woke up this morning, all ready to go to work. My mum came down into the kitchen with a wash basket and presented me with a load of pink shirts. Now, when I put these in the wash basket, they was all white. So I'm going through this wash basket saying, well, what's happened to my shirts? What's happened to my shirts? And my mum's like, oh, I don't know what's happened. And my brother walks in, puts his hand in the wash basket and goes, oh, there's my red cap.
Oh, little fucker.
So I grabbed him by the collar and went, you've done this to me.
There you go.
So I had to go to work today with a pink shirt.
Well, that's okay. Little bit of pink, don't matter, does it, boys?
Talking of which, Tommy, have you seen the latest in pink news today? Tommy.
I haven't. No,
oh,
I haven't.
Well, you want to have a look at Pink News today because it's all about Peter Tatchell, and you'd never guess who he's teamed up with. I mean, you will not guess who he's teamed up with if you haven't read the article. You know who I mean, don't you?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do know who I'm talking about, don't you, with Peter Tatchell?
Oh, well, it's definitely.
Okay. Well, you ain't going to believe this, but he's only accepted a position as patron of Tell Mama. Now, how strange
groan.
Is
did you
that?
Hear that groan, Jim?
Yeah, I did, yeah. How strange
that was
is
a groan.
That?
Yeah, well, Peter Tatchell is an absolute bleep word out.
Wanker is the word, wanker?
Oh, well, we could go with that, but basically, he was in the Oxford Union a month ago saying you shouldn't be proud to be a patriot. because apparently, in his words, he has more in common with the Pakistani human rights organisations than with the EU human rights organisations. I left a comment saying, well, where's the human rights?
Hmm.
What human rights are we referring to here? The fact that young children are getting
raped. Just proves how messed up he is, doesn't it, eh? Pathetic.
No,
here we go. I found the article. There we go. I'm honoured to become a patron of Tell Mama, eh?
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. What a wally.
Pakistani human rights organizations, that sounds like a vampire that lacks their stakes well done. I mean, what the hell is that? How you doing, Tom?
Good door right on.
Good comment, Eric.
Well, the thing is, what you've got to remember is Peter Tatchell, he was attacked by the UAF and the MDL in Tower Hamlets in 2012, so I basically think he would have learned.
Yeah, you would have thought so.
I was saying
you?
That to our listeners earlier on, Tommy, that it seems very strange that there he was standing, because he was with him standing amongst them and they ganged up with him. And he was like this guy. He got a good kicking, didn't he? They give him a good slap. Slapped him around a bit. He did get away scot-free, ladies and gentlemen. They actually did give him a bit of a battering, and he done a runner. He ran away.
Run away!
basically, if you've got Peter Tatch on Twitter, guys, he'll always say the complacency of the far left when it comes to Islamism. But yeah, basically, he's now basically making his bed with Tell Mama. Oh, great! I'll tell him that last part before it happens again. Basically, I think I think he could be one of her. But it's like if I was to see him, I'd just call him. You know, you don't stand for me. Basically, you don't stand for me and all the people in the LGBT. You don't stand for us.
Darren Wall just said there, guys.
Darren Wall saying perhaps he's accepted this position under duress. Good point.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't see that because it's not like, I mean, for example, it's not like when Tommy Robinson went to join Quilliam, which could well have been something that he did under duress. If you're going to join a group as a patron, you know, that's got to be something that you do voluntarily. You know, nobody accepts a job as a patron of an organisation unless they believe in what they're doing. Mm. But the thing is, considering Islam is not only just mildly against the concept of homosexuality, it's like I was singing in my song a little earlier today, you know, if you can chuck them off a mountain or off a tall building, you know, that's the way to treat them as far as Islam is concerned. And I don't see how you can possibly reconcile that position if you happen to be gay. I just do not see any way around it, so I've no idea.
I think he's just stupid. He's just stupid, isn't he? Doesn't he understand the philosophy of what the imams preach about throwing homosexuals off tall buildings or from mountains?
Well, I mean, that's the point. I mean, he has... You would think that somebody in his position would understand it very well, but I can't think of any other explanation apart from terminal stupidity that would make somebody
terminal stupidity, because it could be very terminal for him, actually.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry's the same, though, isn't he, guys?
Is what, sorry?
Stephen Fry, he's just a bigger idiot. He's a big supporter of UAF, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that a supporter of the UAF, that's not quite the same thing as actually being aligned with Tell Mama to the extent that you'd be a patron of it. You know, they want you dead, or at least the underlying political ideology that is behind Islam wants you dead. Tell Mama is an organisation that promotes the cause of Islam or prevents its denigration through its work. And so I cannot, in all honesty, see how somebody could take a moral stand if they are gay and support an organisation like that. I just don't see how it can be done. But he's obviously reconciled it in his mind somehow. Darren in the chat room has said if it's not duress, it might be bribery. But then again, if you're patron of an organisation, that normally doesn't come as a paid position. That's normally a voluntary thing. So I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, but guys, I mean, there's another aspect to it, and that is that, you know, morally speaking, a lot of things in this world have gone down. Now, I know that in, for instance, Hollywood here in the States, if you're not a leftist, you don't get any more acting work. You know, the culture is such that people are completely ostracized unless they go with the politically correct side. And it might have well been very strongly suggested to this individual that he support this tell mama thing. And if he doesn't, then nothing is going to happen to him ever again, ever.
What, he won't be allowed to be homosexual anymore? Oh, that would be awful.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, you know, that there would be no more money-making opportunities coming his way, if you get my drift.
Well, yeah, you're right, Agador. What they do is they are automatically blacklisted, just like the McCarthy days.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just think that Peter Tatchell is not, he doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who would go out of his way to do something like that for money, or for financial reasons. It just seems like such an extreme position to take that he's either been
eccentric.
Convinced.
I would class him as being rather eccentric in that way, to a terminally eccentric, where he could lose his life over it. He was not accepted amongst the Muslim community when he stood with them at Tower Hamlets, and Tommy will say that he basically got his ass kicked. He done a runner. Yeah, he had no choice. They wasn't very happy bunnies around him, was they, Tommy?
This bastard's jaw knocked out a few of his teeth. But basically, what Peter Tatchell has also been heard quite. I know this absolutely infuriates our American listeners. He said the Viet Cong were freedom fighters against American imperialism.
That's the sort of animal that we've got with Peter Tatchell.
That would win him a lot of friends over in America, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, it sounds typical. I mean, if he's aligning himself with so-called Pakistani human rights groups, I mean, you guys could actually have it right. That, you know, he just could actually, you know, be in, I don't know, mid stages of Alzheimer's or something. You know, he just could be terminally nuts.
Yes.
Well, I can't see any other way. I mean, it's just pure stupidity in my eyes, Agador, quite honestly, if you know. And I don't know if you feel the same, Tim. It's just pure stupidity, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Well, for somebody who knows what he must understand what Muslims think of you if you're gay, and I don't see that he could reconcile that position with being a patron for something like Tell Mama, with the knowledge that the Muslims would kick his head in if they ever saw him in the street again. I just don't understand, unless they said, join us as a patron and we'll make sure you don't get your head kicked in future. Oh, and by the way, you'll have to convert to Islam. That's the only other thing I can
think
that of.
Wouldn't surprise
that
me.
Would
oh, we
it,
just
wouldn't
lost
it?
Tommy. Tommy's just dropped, so hopefully he's called back in again.
Actually, I had thought about that, Tim. You know, that this just could be like, you know, either Dimitude that he's decided he's going to adopt, or Dimitude that's been forced on him. One or the other.
Well, I don't know. I think we ought to take bets on it and then see how it pans out over the next few weeks, because it seems a most odd thing to me that somebody like that, with his history, should suddenly decide that the Tell Mama group would be a good organisation to align yourself with. I mean, I think they're a bunch of snakes. And I don't.
I nearly said
I don't have an axe to grind with Tell Mama, and then I remembered what's going to happen next month, and I thought, well, no, I better not say that on the show. but yeah,
Tim, you don't have an axe to grind with Tell Mama. You've got an entire blast.
Choose your words there.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to direct people to go up into the show notes and take a look at the slides that are there. There is one, it's one you'll really love, and that is Tim faces off with Fayad. I'm sorry, I just I have trouble spitting on his name, Jack.
Well, you can call him Fizzy. He loves that. He loves
Fizzy.
Yeah.
Fizzy BB.
Fuzzy Wuzzy.
There's a slide up there that I put in there, and that is the Big Showdown, April 8th, Birmingham. And it's Tim Burton, Free Speech versus Fayez Magal, Tell Mama. If you can be in the Birmingham area on April 8th, around 9:30 in the morning, please do that. 9:30, of course, being Greenwich Mean Time. Try to be there.
I hope you don't mind me interjecting. Have we got...
No.
I wonder if we possibly could get... the Rocky theme, you know, when Rocky's building up to the fight, and play that.
Oh, when he's running up the stairs there. Sure, Jeff. I'll work on it. Absolutely. It's too bad, though, that we lost, Tommy. Oh, Tommy's back. Hang on. We got Tommy back. Right on.
I do have some good news of my own.
Oh, what's that, Tommy?
Well, some of you already know, as you have me on Twitter, that Twitter got hacked the other day, and a lot of my followers got a link sent to them with a caption saying, "Oh my God, look at this," or something like that. And basically, I got a notification from my local law enforcement today that they found the person who's done it, and it's actually a member of the whole Unite Against Fascism, and he is now... He is now facing a 2-year criminal sentence for the Misuse of Computers Act 2002. And I'm looking now, I might be getting some very serious compensation.
Ooh,
there you go.
Right.
That's really good news, Tommy. Very good news. And it's nice to see that sometimes justice seems to be done. It's just, it seems sad that we don't see enough of true justice being handed out there, and people actually being caught, you know, as you said, for possibility of a 2-year prison sentence for what he's done, misuse of that, and maybe you get some sort of a comp out of it as well. Good on you, Tommy. But I was going to say, Tom, just before you joined us this evening, we had a little bit of, there was a bit of a musical theme that was going on. I think everybody was thoroughly enjoying that. It's just sorry that you couldn't be here. Hopefully you listen to the archive later, and Tim was singing give us that, was it fatwa? Give us that.
Dodgy fatwa. Yeah, I think
dodgy
Tommy
fatwa.
Might have heard it before.
Oh, I've heard it.
Yeah, and he was giving us a few verses. Well, for our listeners, as you know, Tommy, and because we've got new listeners tuning. So,
and it was straight to Mrs. Potter's when I came home from. I thought I'd go spend an hour over there. We had a bonfire in the back garden.
Well, there you go. But Tommy, just before we went for a break earlier on, we did say that just after the break, we was going to have our own Kel doing one of her favourite tunes. So, and it's especially for you, Tommy. I know it's one that you like very much. And with that, I'm going to pass the mic over to the producer of the show this evening. That's our very own Kel. Kel, over to you.
Well, you know what? I am so glad that Tommy is here with us, because Tommy is my EDL son, as everybody knows. And when he was a tiny little baby, I would sing him a lullaby when I put him to bed in his swaddling clothes. And this is what I would sing to him. Are you ready, Tommy? You're a grown man now, but come on. Remember when we were little, you were a little boy, and I would put you to bed. And I was singing his favorite lullaby. And here we go. And this is Tim Burton espousing that I'm a singer. I don't think I'm that great a singer, but I do like to sing. But Tommy really enjoys this song. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Strangers on my flight, turbans they're packing, wondering if they might plan a hijacking. They could pull a stunt before this flight is through. Something's on their minds. I saw them mutter, what's that in their hands? Looks like box cutters. I'm gonna kick some ass if they make a move. Strangers on my flight, two smelly people, and they're not talking right. And in a moment, I will grab a baseball bat, and that will be just that. Swing like Joe Maggio and rip them both a new asshole. And if they pick a fight and try to screw us, I'll punch out all their lies. Just like Joe Louis, it would feel so right for strangers on my flight. Rat-ta-ta-ta-ta. Put a bing, bing, zoom. Zoom, a zoom, a zoom. And I will tell you, I will send those bastards to the moon.
Hey, big round of applause. And
then I'll wake up in the night and say, I think I'm Jim Chowder is in my wardrobe.
Oh my goodness me.
Well, you know, rat pack, the night for the fox dead.
I wonder, Kel, have we got, or Tommy, have we got a bit of applause? Because you've done that so well, and everybody's probably enjoyed that.
Very
everybody's
good.
Swooning. All the lads are swooning, Kel. Hey, Tesla. I've just seen Tesla come into the room. Hi, Tesla. Yeah, I wonder, have we got an applause for that young lady? Kel, can you put it up? I can't bloody find
it. I'm going
it.
To applaud myself.
No, do it on my behalf, Kel.
Okay.
Do that producer
here
thing,
we go.
Baby.
There you go.
Do that for Tommy, too. That's killer news, by the way, Tommy. I was in on some of that, man. I've got to say, dude, I'm really happy about that news of yours. And that they were so fast with it. That's amazing.
Me and the Humberside Police were on some sort of handshake and agreement. If I cooperate with them, they cooperate with me.
There you go.
Yes, that's great news, Tommy, that you've... brought on the show this evening.
Jack, we're absolutely jammy buggers, right? You know, when was the last demo? It was Grantham, wasn't it? Grantham was the last demo, wasn't it? Grantham was the last demo, wasn't it? There's something we're getting deployed down there, so I said, well, can't I get a lift with you? And he goes, no, there's no space in the van. Oh, stand up. Oh, so there's no space. So, well, I'm not coming back with you then. Well, you can't. Oh, I'll just give myself a rest so I can get a lift back up with you. No, you won't. I will if I have to.
but no, as I say, it's always good to hear you come on, especially with some good news, progressive news. Like to hear. That's the sort of stories we like to hear. We hear things like Sonny, as you know, tomorrow Sonny's got his court appearance tomorrow, Tom. As I say, and not just himself, but another 7 lads. So I think our thoughts and prayers is going to be with those lads tomorrow. I thought
another
actually
light
that
side of
Sonny might be here tonight. He did say that he was going to call in this evening, but maybe he's got a few things he had to do. But it would have been really good to have him here tonight. So I'd be listening
Jeff,
in at all.
Don't forget, only 9 more days till Peterborough. Whee!
9 more days. What is that date? Sorry.
29.
Do you know what? Me and Kel was talking about that. And when I put the dates down, I totally missed out the date on that. And it really was annoying me listening, wasn't it, Kel?
Mm.
I said, I'm so annoyed. So that day is that's 9 days. What? So that is let's get it right. 9 days. What's that? The 29th? No, is it?
That's the
29th. It's 29th.
It would be the March 29th.
March 29th, that's it. So there you go, guys. And we had talked about this this demonstration, and I was told to tell you, any of you guys that's out there that's going to the Peterborough demonstration to be there at the station. Where are you going to be? At 11 o'clock. Don't get there earlier. Don't get there later. Be there on time. And as I say, we want you to go in as one and come out as one. We don't want no stragglers because they will be waiting. They you know that there's a they like to ambush people because they haven't got the guts to front people, and there's always strength in numbers. So so we like to say that. Hopefully it'll be a great demonstration. You know, the police should keep a well eye on what's going on there as well. So but we like to say that, to get, you know, to make sure that people there are on time, and everybody stick together and come out together. And
you
I'm
know
sure
what?
That
I cannot wait for the news, right? Because if you can imagine BBC News saying today the EDL went out to protest and pay against our Muslim grooming gang that was smashed in Peterborough a few weeks ago. Along the way, they was met by counter protest. Now, just imagine that one sentence. Went to go counter Muslim paedophile gangs and met with counter protests. Just imagine that. Imagine what people are going to think when they hear that. They're going to think, well, what the hell are they getting counter protested for? Well, we all know what
this is it, isn't it, Tommy? But as I say, I'm glad that you because I wasn't sure the date because I wanted to promote it. As I say, it's not too far away. This time next week, I know Tommy will be on his toes. He'll be bubbling away a little bit. It'll be the day before the eve of the demonstration, and we know how people get when it's very close to that. Everybody's bubbling, aren't they, Tom?
Every demo day, guys, I hang my head up there and go, you boy, what day is this? Today? Why, sir, it's demo day.
But that's right. It's like an adrenaline rush, isn't it, Tommy? And as we know, he don't sleep much, ladies and gentlemen. He don't, you know, he's ready to go.
It's like
what's the journey like, Tom, for you? What are you doing? Are you travelling with the... what division are you travelling with?
I'm going with Sheffield and Rotherham lot.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, really?
Good, good, good.
Yeah, we've got a little...
Well, we won't give no details. We won't say too much on air, Tom, but we'll mention what we need to mention. We'll mention when the time is more closer, you know, with things that needs to be said, the master points, this, that and the other. We won't mention anything at this moment in time because, as we know,
Oh, do you remember at the Moortown demonstration when I came on to give you the debrief, and I said, yeah, I'll tell you something, when I was on that train to Leeds, the UAF was in the other car on the train.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, mate, I do.
Oh, dear.
You talked to me on the mobile. He was saying, they're in the other coach, Jeff. I said, really? We was laughing.
Guess what? There's five of us. There's about five UAF for the next... Oh, go on. And Kadeem going, racist.
You're racist.
Spell it. They're going, oh, R-A-S, no.
Yeah, mate.
Hamlet's last year, guys, stop the racialist EDL. Now, it's not have a W in it.
Well, you guys remember that caller. I think it was on Sunday or something like that. That was saying racialist this and that. I mean, what is wrong with these people? They can't even say the word racist. I mean, maybe it's because they're racist themselves. I don't understand.
Right
no,
on, Agador.
It just seems funny when, you know, they can't even pronounce it properly, you know, for goodness sake. But, yeah, we're going to, as you say, Ecuador, we're going to, oh, guess what? Before we go any further, we got our lad. Oh, he was here. He's just jumped out. We just had him. We just had Sonny.
Yep, he's a dialing back in.
Oh, good, good, good. As I say, that's I was thinking it'd be nice if we could have Sonny, because we know that he's got his day in court tomorrow. And have we got? Yes, we've got our Sonny back with us, and I'm going to bring him straight in, guys. So with that, Sonny, welcome to the show, bruv. We was just talking about you earlier. Was looking forward to you coming in, because we know you got your day tomorrow in court. So welcome, mate. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello everyone, and also my apologies if my signal's terrible. I'm actually using my mobile internet, so it could be terrible, because I'm just out trying to prepare for tomorrow.
Okay,
but nice to speak to you all, guys. I thought I'd get in there and just say hello.
Yeah, well,
you
we're all thinking of you. Sonny, we're all thinking of you, and as I say, like, we were talking about, you know, the case that's coming up. Sonny, is that right? Did you mention that when you go up there, you've got another five lads will be going? There's 10 of you all together. Are you all charged with the same thing, or have they got different things they've been charged with? You don't mind me asking.
No, every single person charged from Birmingham are all done for violent disorder. We're all being charged under violent disorder, but the severity of the violent disorder varies between all 11 of us. So it's under the same thing, just the severity is different.
Oh, I see. I see. So it's different different how they look at certain cases. Every case is a little bit different because of whatever the whatever you've been done for, basically, yeah?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we wish you well tomorrow, son. I do know that it's going to be a little bit of a trying day, but, you know, we're all with you, mate. And as you know, we've got... Tim, you're here, aren't you, Tim?
Maybe yeah,
you
yeah, I'll be,
a few thoughts with...
I'll be popping in to see you tomorrow, Sonny, so keep an eye open for me. I'll be the guy in the cat suit and pink cat suit. Yeah, that's right.
You'll be wearing the pink tutu.
Tim, we'll all be congregating outside the court at 9 o'clock, so we've all got time to stand and have a chat with all the Patriots. So if you get there that little bit early, you'll probably meet us out there anyway.
Yeah, I'll be there. Don't you worry.
Tony, I tried to get today booked off, but because I got next week booked off, they wouldn't let me have it. I could even have one or the other. So they're a bit
Tommy,
rotten.
I know you're thinking of me anyway. You don't need to. I've
right,
just got to say
you all the time, Sonny, mate. You got no idea.
Oh, I know. but as I say, guys, I'm sorry to cut it so short. I'm in such a rush for tomorrow, trying to get it together.
I know.
I do just want to say a massive thank you, especially to Jeff, especially massive thank you to Carol, like long way away, but she's given me so much support. Obviously, Tim, Tommy, the guys in the chat room there, like... your Stinger and your Sweet Sue, they've all been brilliant sending their messages, and especially all my EDL friends listening, Hayden and everyone else, they've been absolutely fantastic, and I've got you all in my heart anyway tomorrow, so I don't need to turn
you off. And we've got you in our heart as well, Sonny.
Yeah, that's right, Sonny. Yeah.
We're
Sonny,
all
good thinking
luck,
of you, buddy. So, yeah, as I say, because it's a fair run up there from where you are, isn't it, mate? It's a fair run.
Yeah. But as I say, no, it just goes to show, let alone again, no other family in the world for a group that are supposed to be thugs, the love I've had and the respect and the support I've had, just not from the English Defence League, but for the friends in the Scottish Defence League, in the Canadian Defence League, people in Northern America, people in America, I've had tremendous support. And if he is listening... if he is listening, Vlad Tepes, brilliant guy, and I can't thank him enough. If he is listening, he's a fantastic guy.
Oh, Sonny,
well,
absolutely.
Sonny,
and
you have messages from
North America.
It's amazing, Sonny, the support, the love that you've got from people all across the world are thinking of you. And, you know, it just goes to show you, we are a big family. We're all in this together. And it's just a shame that... they have to put these charges up against the great lads like you and the other boys and that's involved, and lads, maybe there's other lads, there's lasses, I don't know, but being a patriot, you just be proud of who you are, Sonny, you know what I mean, and you know, hopefully things will go, you know, hopefully it goes well tomorrow, and that's all I can really say.
It will, because he has prayers and wishes coming his way. He has messages not only from North America, but he has messages coming from Australia. The listeners that Tim and myself, when we host the Freedom Loving Infidels on Radio Jihad Network, and Sonny was there, and Vlad Tepes was there as well, and Sonny and Vlad Tepes had a wonderful dialogue, and there were people talking with me after the show, Sonny, and Noe 90 and his wife, they were conveying their strongest support. We had people from Australia texting me after the show saying that, support Sonny. And Sonny, you do. You have the four corners of the world in your corner. We are all here for you.
Well, as I say, one thing I will say just before I get off, as I say yet again, I can't say enough thank yous. The support is phenomenal. Hopefully I should be making bail, and I will be at Peter Breven if I have to dig my way out. If I do get sent, I will dig my way out. I will see you all at Peter Breven.
All right.
And also, the final words on me, all I could say yet again, is thank you very much. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And yet again, just never surrender. Like they say, they can take people away, but my voice will still be heard. Even if I have to sing and shout it from inside the four walls, you know what I mean? I will be heard, and you will hear my voice very shortly. So no surrender, and I'll let you guys go on that.
No surrender.
Well, hopefully, Sonny, we will hear you maybe on a Friday evening, if not a Sunday. I'm hoping that you make bail, and then we can have a little bit of debriefing of how things went for you and the other lads. So that's the way,
Sonny,
I'm looking at it.
I just want you to know that I got a PM from Vlad Tepes right now, and he sends his highest regards to you and wishes you the best of luck for tomorrow.
Well, on that note then, guys, I have got a busy, busy night, so I'm going to love and leave every single one of you, and just remember, the patriot is the inner patriot. They can take the body, but they can't open us up and take what's inside, so keep the faith, you know what I mean? And never surrender.
Well done. Well said, and no surrender, Sonny. God bless you, brother, and safe journey tomorrow. And
okay, guys,
we'll
I'll see you later.
Very soon.
Take care,
Sonny.
Have a good night, guys.
Take care,
bye,
Sonny.
Good night,
Sonny.
Well, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, you just listened to our very own Sonny, who's got a court appearance tomorrow. And as you people just listening to the show and been following exactly what's been going on with Sonny, will be in the same mindset as ourselves, being you know who we are, that there's so injustice in this country, and Sonny's at the end of the injustice that's been put upon patriots. People love their country. And you can hear in his voice a true patriot, like Tommy English, our very own Tommy, and people like that. These are the true patriots, the lovers of their country, want to do what's right for their country, and you know sometimes to pay a sacrifice in that, you know, that your freedom taken away. But as Sonny says, you can do this and do that, but you can't take this away from me, that's inside me, this heart that beats, that's the love of my country, the love of what I do. You know what I'm saying, guys? And that's why it's so important that we heard Sonny tonight, and wish him well for tomorrow. And hopefully he'll make bail, and we'll hear how things went when he returns. So, you know, we will just have to see how things go. But I was going to say, Gil, we've had a very busy chat room again tonight, but it's been bubbling, isn't it, Gil? It's really been manic.
Are you kidding? They're in there, and they're chatting away.
I just had a PM. I've got a call any after the show, Carol.
No, it's been a very, very busy chat room that we have there, Jeff, and that is very exciting because that's what we like to see, and that people come here and they become engaged and they enjoy what they're hearing, and they talk back and forth. They share links. And Agador, oh, my God, Agador, you've got a new show up. Thank goodness. Agador, of course, is joining us on the air, and I've been anticipating his latest show, and he just put the link in there, so, oh, I'm going to
after
the show. Yeah, so thanks, Agador.
You're
but
welcome.
Yeah,
that's
Jeff,
good.
We've had quite a busy night tonight again, and I think that, we should really give homage to the people who are joining us, and we want to thank you, Jeff Mitchell. You're the host of the EDL radio show.
Thank you, ma'am.
thank you, ma'am. Dan Rather, talk to me, baby. Come on.
Thank you.
Jeff Mitchell, Kel Fritzy. Of course, we want to thank Tim Burton, and that is Cat Strangler 101. And please read the Birmingham one. Okay, you guys knock it off. I'm not hurting cats. Of course, we want to thank Tommy English, who is the chief panelist right here. And of course, we want to thank Sonny that joined us on the line and kept us apprised as to what was going on with his court case pending tomorrow. And I'm very thrilled to hear on a personal note, because it is personal with me. I do not like hearing what's going on with Sonny. But on a personal note, I'm very glad that Tim Burton will be there rooting him on with popcorn and pinging it on the back of the heads of the magistrates. But ladies and gentlemen, I just actually do discourage you from doing that, so kind of don't, okay?
I'm glad
but
you do.
Yes,
okay.
I can imagine
you. There's a little devil inside of me.
I can just imagine the news coverage now, guys. All I can hear is Tim Burton shouting, "Take the barricades, lads. We'll get in there."
We're storming the Bastille.
Yeah, I'll imagine that. Oh my God,
Tommy. That's hilarious.
Grab your torches and pitchforks. Grab your torches and pitchforks. We're storming the best.
Okay,
if
I'm
you can't get
a gouge
and carrots. And a few turnips.
Okay. Who do we have here? We have Jeff Mitchell, Cal Fritzy, Tim Burton, Sonny English, Sonny England, who joined us. And, of course, we have our sweet Sue from New Mexico on the line joining us. But in the chat room, we have the finest people. We have Bigfoot. We have Darren Ward, Daz, EDL, Dodgy Dave, Drake's Drum, Echo, Eric Kyle, some guests, and welcome guests, and thank you. We have Moving Forward. We have Smokey from Texas. We have Southern Sense, and that's my Annie. And we have Tesla. And before people had to leave, we also had my very own voice, and that was Stanger. So there you go, Jeff. We
and,
have people pop.
Did we mention Vito Esposito?
And Vito Esposito was here.
Yeah,
oh,
the man.
As you call him, Vito Esposito.
Espetito. Espetito. Espetito.
That's a small potato.
Is
a potato.
That's right, Agador. Yeah, Jeff. And that's right, Agador.
Yes, you see, Jeff applied for the role of Keith Lemon, but he just didn't get the pronunciations right.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you for pulling me up on that, young man. He always does that to me, didn't he, Kel?
It's okay.
But anyway,
Jeff,
I'd like to thank everybody.
Jeff Mitchell for Big Brother 2016, eh?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Oh, my goodness me. You get some right weirdos in that Big Brother thing, didn't you, Tom?
I couldn't do it, especially now it's on Channel 5.
Oh, yeah.
But well, anyway, what I would like to do, though, I'd like to thank everybody once again, every person who's been in the chat room this evening, who follows the show, supports the show. Great support. Thank you so much, guys, and of course to all of our listeners wherever you might be. Thank you so much for your ongoing support for the English Defence League radio show and of course the English Defence League organisation. So thank you so much, guys. And if there wasn't, you know, we've always said this, and I'm going to continue to say it because it's right. If there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. And and it just spurs us on when we know that we've got great support. People like yourselves who listen to the show, who supports us, that says it all, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, guys. As I say, we've done things a little bit different tonight. We've had a bit of a musical treat tonight with our very own Tim and Kel. Which was absolutely excellent. I hope you've all enjoyed that, as I say, you know, and it basically, you know, I don't know, it was done on a, you know, as a whim, like, you know, Tim, you do a little, and there he was, he got his guitar, and before we know it, he was playing that Give Us That Dodgy Fat One, and which is going to be a great hit there. We'll put that to a recording thing, and that will be blasted all across the globe, here, there, everywhere, all on the anti-GN site. Tim, you can be a very popular man.
Well,
superstar,
it would let me to play it. Let me plug it, but might not. So I'm not holding breath for that.
Well, you know, we shall see what we shall see. And as I say, the airways was graced with our very own.
Oh yeah,
Kel.
It was. And I'm just going to interrupt because we had a fine gentleman just join us in the chat room, and that of course is Moving Forward. So,
moving forward, wow, absolutely awesome. As he just cut, hang on, let's just have a look. Where is he? Where are you, Moving?
And, yeah, and Echo.
Oh, there he is.
Echo is one of my dear friends, and he is fantastic. Echo is the one that has the pontoon saloon. So I just want to give him honorable mention because when we hit 5 o'clock, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, Echo always opens the pontoon saloon. So I like to
there you go.
I just had
a comment there from, I think, for yourself there. Moving, get those snakes and spiders fumigated. I think fermigated. And then Eric Kyle has said, no, Kel, send the spiders to Jeff. No, Kel, send spiders to Jeff, Moving. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. Send me the spiders. Yeah, why not? Frighten the life out of me. You see what I mean?
Ladies and gentlemen, go up into the show slides. I found a little errant spider that was lost, and she couldn't find her home. So I gently picked it up and put it on Jeff's pillow with her babies.
Oh, well,
and Jeff is forever
can't
grateful
get more loving
to me
than
for that.
That. And we know you love them, Jeff. My goodness me. I really opened up a can of spiders. Or it used to be, say, a can of worms, but I've opened up to the spiders, and I let people know that I've got a phobia about spiders. I'm probably going to get the Spiders
you,
Defence League on my case now, aren't I?
Well, I think Tim are of the same make, because Tim has a phobia for violins, so there you go.
It's not a phobia when they're there to kill you, those damn...
Definitely not, Tim. Oh, Dodgy Dave says that Simon Cowell's on the line, says he wants Tim to perform Dodgy Factor on his new show, The Extremist Factor.
Very good.
Oh, I like that. Dodgy, thank you, buddy.
Oh, yes, and I'll Simon Cowell, Kelson, be the Louis Walsh.
Extremist Factor. Come on, guys. Keep up speed. Extremist Factor. That was superb, Dave.
Yeah,
well, and Jem Chowdhury, Wayman Bennett, Tim Burton, vote for your finalist now.
And you know what I love so much is the chat room, because there is so many funny comments and so many things that really makes me laugh, and you, Kel, and it's the place to be. It's lively, isn't it, our chat room, Kel? It's always lively. The links going in.
Yes.
It's just fantastic place to
be.
So,
listening.
And tomorrow night, as everybody knows, Fridays on EDL Radio, we have Comedy Central. And we will be asking everybody to enter their best anti-Islamic joke in the chat room. So, you know, get yourself ready.
So there you go, guys, in the chat room. But as I say, we have got some guests as well. You guys, you know what you should do? You should get yourself a sign up to Blog Talk Radio, get yourself a nickname, and then you can sort of... You can sort of chat with us all in the chat room then, can't you? And it don't cost you nothing to sign up either. So there you go, guys. It'd be great to see you here as well. Just without that thing of being a guest, but it's always a pleasure to see the guests anyway, isn't it, Kel?
And I do have to expand on that. I know for a fact that one of the guests is my friend Terry. And he has been trying to log in, and he can't. So he's here, and he's listening as a guest. And so I should give homage as well to Terry, my friend, who I
well, there you go, Terry. And thank you so much for tuning into the show this evening. And hopefully you'll be able to sign in and that on maybe one of our shows. But once again, we've got to thank you. Thank you for being here this evening.
Absolutely.
The more the merrier, isn't it, Kel? The more the merrier.
Absolutely, Jess.
And if they are NSA and or MI6, you know, they can log in and identify themselves to each other, and I don't know, maybe they can arrange some dates or something like that. You know, spy on each other's emails and things like that. Let's get a real relationship going. Thanks to the EDL Radio.
You got it, mate. But it's good to see that we've always got a busy chat room, and I love, you know, because I'm picking up on things and we can share it with our listeners. Guys, if you're listening into the show and you hear us talking about chat room, because it is such a lively place and there's so many great people that grace the chat room. So we like to give them all a mention, don't we, Kel? So
right.
And also, as I say, moving forward, he's a funny man. It's a great man. And Smokey, it's good to see you here this evening. And of course, we got Annie Summersense. Good to see you, Annie. And of course, my old friend from Pal Talk, Kel, Tesla. He's joined us this evening.
Yeah, Tesla's not been here for a while, and it's great to see Tesla. Wonderful to see Tesla again.
It's always good to see.
But you're right. I'm glad that we're down to quite the wire. But I have to make an honorable mention when it comes to Annie of Southern Sense. We burned the airwaves on my show on Friday. Like we totally had the chat room in a loop in last year. I know. And you called in. But me and Annie, we just burnt it up. like we're laughing so hard. Neither one of us could
having
talk.
Fun. That's what it's about. You're having good fun. definitely. And that's what it's about, you know. We like to have fun, and we're going to be doing that tomorrow night. Well, at the same time, we've got a serious aspect. We've got to find out exactly how things went with our Sonny and the rest of the lads tomorrow. Hopefully, it'll be bailed for another date or whatever. So we hopefully that'll be some good news that you know it's done and. Done and dusted tomorrow. It might be another date, as Tim said. There's probably a future date. Might be going to Crown or something like that. Who can tell?
Yeah.
We shall find out tomorrow, won't we, guys? So there you go. But yeah, we are right down to the line this evening. Yeah, guys. I hope you've we've had a bit of a different night tonight. It's been fun. We've had some serious. Things we've been talking about, but at the same time, you know, I've enjoyed doing the show tonight. I've had a splitting headache all night, but for people like yourself, keeps me going. I've just said to Kel, I need to sit down, but it's so important. I've just loved doing the show so much with great people like yourselves and the great listeners out there. you got to keep going, haven't you, Kel? You got to keep going. You go through the pain barrier.
Well, I'm about to do my closing comment for the evening.
Oh, sorry, Tommy.
I'll do my closing statement. A Russian, a Cuban, an Englishman, and a Muslim are all on a train. The Russian takes out a bottle of his best vodka, drinks a bit and throws the rest of it off the train and says, "Don't worry, there's plenty of water where I come from." And everybody's impressed. And the Cuban takes out one of his finest Havana cigars, takes one puff and throws it off the train and says, "Don't worry, there's plenty more of them where I come from." So the Englishman is impressed and he takes the Pakistani and he throws it off the train and says, "Don't worry, there's plenty of those where I come from."
So there you go. Who says we don't put humour into his land?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God. Hey, Tommy. What do you call a drunken Muslim?
Muhammad.
Right on
cue. Oh, I like it.
See, this is why he is my EDL son, ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
Go on, Cal. I've got one for you. What's the difference between a Muslim and a vampire?
The vampire is eventually you get thirsty.
Yeah, they start getting bloodthirsty after a while.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear about the winner of the Islam beauty contest, Tommy?
No.
Me neither.
Well, I heard that a camel won it.
You be careful, Jeff Wahabi will come after you for that.
Well, no, only if I mention the yaks. Yaggity yaks.
Go on, I've got one for Agadah. How do Muslims practice safe sex?
How?
Bimbal.
They mark the camels that kick.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. Hey, anyway, guys, what can I say? We've got about 3 minutes, I've got less than that now. We've got 2 minutes left of the show. Once again, I'd like to thank Kel, the producer of the show this evening. Great job, sterling work, great clips, apart from that bloody spider, Kel. yeah, I know, Tommy.
Get
what's
Spider-Man
she like? What are we going to do with the Kel? It's terrible. I've got to thank our very own cat strangler, Tim Burton, who will be at Sonny's court case tomorrow.
I've got 90 seconds. Also, I've got to, a big thank you to Mr. Agador tonight, who called in and a great contributor to the show this evening. Thank you, brother. And, of course, Mr. Tommy English, the co-host of the show as well this evening. Thanks, Tommy. I know it's a bit late this evening, but it's great to have you here, brother, always. And to everybody else that you know, plays a big part with this show, and fantastic. Fantastic. And I'm just at that lady now. She's saying I've got 60 seconds, Kel. And guys, so with that, it's take care. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. And not forgetting from us all, as all the panel, everybody, no surrender. No surrender ever. And with that, we are going underground. Good night, guys. Good night, Kel. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Tommy. Good night, Angel.
Might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the point. Things happening here today, a show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course, and of mine. If I need you, like that's the spot on its right. Then the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. You're out to hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, don't waste your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets, but I don't give up.
EDL Radio Archive.
There you go. I love that. And thank you once again, Martin. Oh, yes. It's great, isn't it, Kel? Do you like that, Agador? It's so cool, isn't it? So instead of me doing the archive, we got Martin to do the great sound effect there to that. So,
you know, when I hear that, I think of the spacecraft from Close Encounters flying over our heads, and you know that coming out of that thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
True. Agador, good observation. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. But my goodness me, guys, it's amazing show tonight. I've got to admit, you know, with the headache I've had, but do you know what? With everybody, with Tim doing a little bit of a musical thing in yourself, you get through things, don't you? You really do with the help of your friends. We get by with a little help from our friends. Yeah. An old Beatles tune there. See, I've done a little bit musical thing tonight now.
See, I like you guys too much to sing at you, so.
Oh, come on, Agador.
There's an American saying, Kel, hell no.
Yeah. Hell no, yeah.
No, I've got to be in the right mood. But yeah, I mean, all of these movements, every movement from, I mean, going way, way back, they've always had their songs and things to bring them together and you know, to make them happy soldiers in the cause. You know, I mean, you can't go around, with a grim face on and just always with everything clinched up. You got to relax and get into it if you know your cause is righteous. And the music helps a hell of a lot.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that. That's a great. Yeah. I think so. It's just like we used to do that quite a lot, didn't we? At one time, we used to play quite a bit of music on the show, but it's become more of a chat show now, more so, which is more engaging, especially with the listeners, with some of the topics that we discuss. So we've cut that back a little bit to what we used to do, didn't we, Kel? We used to play quite a few, you know, tunes, EDL tunes, that sort of thing. Anglo-Saxon stuff, didn't we? We used to do that all quite a lot, didn't we, going back in the early days, didn't we, Kel?
Jeff, when you and I started out there nearly 2 years ago, and ladies and gentlemen, Jeff's show will be 2 years old in May, and we're having a big, huge party. And
we certainly are.
Jeff,
everybody's invited.
I'm not telling you what your birthday present for the show is going to be.
let's just say it's got lots of legs.
Oh, don't you bloody start, young Tim. He's bloody picked out Kel, tell him he's picking on me again.
I've been saving all the episodes for the last year, and I've put them all to MP3, and I've got a blooper reel.
No, you haven't done that again, have you, Kel?
Yes,
really?
I have. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. I'm blushing already. There's been quite a few blooper reels, Kel.
I do.
Oh, my
but
God.
No, getting back. Yeah, you're right. When we first started out together, Jeff, it was, we were playing a certain platform of music, but we have expanded in that we understand that we are an international entity at this point, and so we try to bring you the news universally, and we try to play the music that will appeal to everybody. And Jeff, you're right about that. I'm very proud of how the show has evolved itself, and that we are reaching out to more and more people. And we're reaching out to people not only in England with the EDL movement, but we're reaching out to people in Canada, the United States, Agador, hello. We're reaching out to people in Australia, and we're reaching out to people as far away as China, Jeff.
Yeah, we've even got the Buddhist Defence League as well, haven't we? So, you know, that's how far we've... as I say, I am very proud to be a great part of this organisation. And it is, would you not agree, Tim? It's absolutely phenomenal. There's no other a group of people, an organisation like this has ever been around before.
I think it's a response to a unique threat, because what we see we haven't seen before. I'm not saying that in sort of generations gone by, you know, there haven't been similar threats in similar places, but in what we know of recent European history, we've seen nothing like it. And I suppose the same is true, you know, with the United States and all Western democracies. We've never seen a threat like this. So we're still working out the most effective way to respond. And the message that the English Defence League has put out has resonated absolutely everywhere around the world, wherever there have been Muslim populations expanding in Western countries, the same problems have been seen. So when we say that we've noticed this and we ought to be making a stand against it, people all around the world are thinking exactly the same thing. So yeah,
yes.
it is a very, very powerful message. But I definitely think that one of the most effective tools in fighting something like this is the mockery factor, the ridicule factor, the fact that we uh-huh. know what they're doing and we understand it so completely we can make fun yes. of it and get away with it. And I think that's
exactly.
one of the most powerful tools.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that last statement there, Tim. And but also, just to add to that, I'm going to mention something that we've always had in our little thing there. What they call it? This muffin here. In front of me. Sometimes you have what they call a Muslim moment or a brain fart, and that's just that to me. So my apologies, but. I'm just going to say this, Tim, to follow on what you said there. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by Edmund Burke. And that,
yeah.
I always, you know what, Tim,
yeah.
I look at that, and it does. It is true. Every word of that is true. And when did he say that? It was back in, was it the 1800s? Or is it earlier than that?
It might even have been earlier than that, Jeff. I haven't got the dates in front of me, but it's a while back. I mean, yeah, that's as true now as it was then. And you know, it is up to us. It is up to us to take a lead because, you know, when ideas and organisations like ours start, the first thing we get is we get condemnation, and then people start to say, well, maybe they've got a point. And in the end, we're going to get enough people, you know, so we will be able to say, yeah, this is the strategy, this is the way forward, and then we win. But, you know, it takes a little while, so we just have to keep plugging away at it.
We've always said that, like the old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, and it's what we're doing, it's... We are putting the pressure on, but it does take time. It does. People are still waking up. Some people still don't realise the threat. But what we've done over that time, haven't we? We've opened up a lot of people's eyes. A lot of people start talking about what we've been saying, and then they share with their friends. And that's what's happening. People have woken from their slumber and realised that this threat is so credible that they want to get involved. They're not sure what to do, but they know they must do something because what they see around them, they can see a great nation is falling apart simply because of the dimitude of politicians, the political correctness, this human rights trivialty that's been occurring over the last 30, 40 years. The people, sometimes you've got to make a stand, and that's exactly what we're all doing now. We are the bastion. We mustn't forget that Islam, it lives by the darkness, doesn't it? The crescent moon, this and that. We are people that love the light. We live by the light. We are the bastion of light. We are the freedom of light. And that is what we stand for. It's good against evil. And as we say, evil will never prevail. Goodness will always win over evil. There you go.
Well, you know, if
well,
I can horn in. All right. Well, you know, Tim.
Yeah,
Tim,
the reason why Edmund Burke quoted that is he quoted it in the 18th century. And the reason why he did that is because that the United States and the UK were under such turmoil. And that he could see things developing around him. And Edmund Burke, when he said the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, was because he could see the turmoil around him.
Mm. and it resonates as much then as what it does today. That's why we've always kept that in our in this little statement that we've got at the show highlights, haven't we, Kel?
Yeah.
And
I'm just making myself
Agador,
smart again, ladies and gentlemen. I am a Google queen, and that's what I do.
I think
he's brilliant
I think
at it,
had
and Tim's the Google
to,
king.
I think Agador had something he wanted to
yes.
add to that.
All right. Well,
yeah.
No. You know, Tim. You know, I mean, Tim had it right in that. You know, this is something that our generation has never seen. I mean, for instance, the World War II generation, they faced a threat from without in all of our countries. You know, they faced the threat of fascism from without, but they could also more or less trust their governments. You know, their governments were behind them. Now we face a threat from without, but our governments are behind us, but they have a knife in their hands. You know, they're actually in assisting the threat. You know, it isn't
yeah.
you know a threat outside our homes. It's now in the walls of our homes, and
yeah.
you know this is something that, as Tim says, is completely new. We're feeling around with our hands, and you know in some of our cases with our canes, and we're finding our way, but we will prevail through this because the people. As you say, Jeff, are beginning to wake up. It's a long, hard process, I can tell you, just from being over here in the States. You guys in the UK have a small jump because more of your people are waking up than ours are. A lot of our people are still in denial, you know, but
yeah.
you know, we'll do what we can. We'll do what we can to wake them up and clue them into this threat because I'm very afraid that if they don't realize what's going on, it's going to be far too late to do something about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think
well, you'll
I think
see
it's
the same
happen.
Same situation, Agador. I mean, you've seen what it's like in Dearborn, haven't you? You know, the way that
yeah.
What happens is Dearborn
well,
echoes really
well.
Tower Hamlets. You know, if you look at Tower Hamlets,
yeah.
what we discussed many times, that Dearborn echoes exactly the situation what we have there. So and. You don't want that. You can do something, but it does just say it just means for people to wake up, see the threat, know it's a threat, and do something positive about it. Become proactive, you know, because you've got to think that freedom is at stake. Freedom, you know, people fought and died, and it seems like once again the good people of our nations, well, once again. Have to have the sacrifice of fighting for freedom and democracy and the things that we've all found so important that we've lived by for so long. That once again, we're going to have to stand up and fight for the rights of our nations again. And,
it's not only in the United States, and it's not only in the UK. It's happening in Canada right now. In that
is
there is an Islamic
yeah.
community. That wants to establish, get this gentleman, they want to establish a Muslim-only community. We have one already, and it's based on the Ahmadiyyan faith, and the Ahmadiyyans are actually considered,
okay.
they're considered apostates. More or less, because they adopted a different ideology when it comes to Islam in the 1800s. But this is a Ahmadiyyan site is established in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and now we have another group approaching the city council and saying that, well, we want our own Muslim-only community. We want to build our condominiums in our low rises in our housing, and so yeah, Agador. Absolutely.
Well, as we say, Kel, and we the word that jumps out at me every time is the apartheid. They want to build their own, you know, they want to separate themselves from the laws of Canada. They want their own laws and they want to have their own state. Can't allow it. Can we? We can't allow this to happen.
Yeah.
No, we have
it's
our constitutions
right.
and we have our ways of doing things in our countries. And those are the laws they should live by. That's what I've said. Look, I don't care if they want to practice Sharia in their own homes and in their own mosques, as long as they obey our laws. You know, but don't bring it out into our streets and don't break our laws. And yes, Kel.
Yeah, I kind of have a problem though when they practice the Sharia, because it brings me to mind of young girls that were killed under the rule of thumb of Sharia. And
just listen to my show, Kel, because I address that too. You know. And yeah, you're talking about you know, the separate Islamic communities in you know, in Canada, but we've already got some of those. We've already got over 20 of those all over the state.
Yeah, that's true.
The most famous of which being Islamburg, which is in upstate New York. You know, I mean, the place is literally closed off. It's fenced off, and it's patrolled by armed guards. So yeah, I mean,
I can't believe it's bad happened. As that. Yeah. Is it really as bad as that, Agador? I didn't realize.
Oh, it is. Yep.
It is. It's terrible.
It is.
My
and
God.
Our government will not go in and deal with the situation because they say that, you know, they're not a threat to outside communities. And I always put the word "yet" on the end of that one.
Yeah, well, they're building their own army, aren't they? An army within a state, and they say that you shouldn't be worried about it. Well, I'll be bloody worried about it if they was doing that. Actually, I'm quite surprised with it. I didn't realise. That state of affairs Agador. So thank you for that information, because I didn't know it was quite as dire as that. Quite honestly.
It is.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Jeff, it's bad. It's really bad.
See, we're all feeling it, aren't we? You know, we say it's going to be like 10 years or 6 years or something before America feels the same as what we are. But my goodness me, it's a lot closer than that, I would say. Agador, with what you just said there, brother, I've got to admit.
I'd say right within 10, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and if you listen to No Way 90 of Reactionary Speaks Network, he brings this up quite often in what's happening in his state in the Northeast, and it's devastating. He's seeing his community crumble because of the influx of the Muslims that are establishing their own communities, and they're creating no-go zones. And this is in the New England area.
That's heartbreaking.
It's bad. Yeah, it's not good at all.
I think we're all, as Tim said, we're all feeling it. And it just needs people to be aware that this is a credible threat. It's, you know, if you want freedoms for your grandchildren and that, it's something you've got to stand up and fight for now. You've got to say, no, enough's enough. We can't have this crap. You know, this is, we've got our laws, and I hope you live by our laws, and if you don't, then go back to where you come from. If you think that the laws are better there, then go there. Why come over to our countries and then try to impose this barbaricness on our societies, our nations? We don't need it. We don't want it. It would never be accepted. I'd never accept anything to do with this cult, ever, as long as I live. And I'm probably the same as you, Tim. Never accept anything to do with Islam.
I mean, the thing is, when a lot of people think about this, they think, oh, the answer is, you know, just send them back over to their own countries if they don't want to live by our laws here. But what they're doing is they're ignoring the imperatives of the Islamic ideology, which basically says that it is a Muslim's duty to spread Islam in whatever way they can, large or small. And if a Muslim is over here in a non-Muslim country, then it is his duty to spread the Islamic ideology in whatever way he can.
Call it Dawah?
Well, that's the proselytizing side of it.
Yes.
But it's more to do with converting Darul Harb into Darul Islam. And that has to be done through jihad. And jihad, of course, can take many forms. It's not just going out with a machete and shouting Allah Akbar and chopping people's heads off. It's actually just persuading people in by whatever means, whether it's through fear, violence, intimidation or terror, or just plain wearing them down through constant demands that have to be appeased, to get people into the way of thinking that it's much better to give in to Muslims than to stand up to them. And once they've got that mindset in the indigenous population, their job becomes much easier. So it's our job to stand up against that. But first of all, we have to explain to other people who haven't understood it in the way that we understand it, so that they can see what the threat is. And that's the that's the great thing about what the EDL and other counter-jihad groups are doing. They understand the threat, and they're doing their best to explain it to people who might not otherwise have thought about it. But if they do understand, if they're brought to, you know, you sometimes say that you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, if we bring enough horses to water, some of them are going to drink, and some of them might not drink straight away, but I think they'll drink eventually. And that's what the value of groups like ours is that we bring people to that position where we say, here is the evidence. We're not racist. We're not violent. We're not fascist. We're not Islamophobic. Well, that's it. We're presenting you with the evidence, and if enough people can take that on board, then we can start to make a difference. And that is actually starting to happen. And that's the real legacy of groups like the EDL, in that they have not only made this movement start to happen in this country, but the message has resonated all around the world. And that's the wonderful thing about the EDL.
And that's why it's a global movement, and that's why Canada is involved, and the United States is involved, and my cult of Restore Australia, that's why Australia is involved. And we have to read up. We have to become educated. Like, when you listen to these programs, we give you the tools to do the homework, and believe me, when I listen to Radio Jihad Network, I get my homework. Eliza Jane and Luchadora, they had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and his name was John Guanadolo, and he wrote a book called Raising a Jihadi Generation, Understanding the Muslim Brotherhood Movement in America. And I also purchased a book called Sharia Law for Non-Muslims, and this was written by Dr. Bill Warner, of whom Tim and myself, we interviewed about a month and a half back.
He was a great guest, wasn't he, Kel? Great guest.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And, like, I have these books, and they're hard copy, and I have them right here in my lap. They just arrived in my mail this week. I will be reading them avidly. And that's what we have to do. Like, we offer these programs, ladies and gentlemen, but we encourage you to do homework and read these books. And for goodness sake, don't even stop there. Read books by Mark Stein and Ezra Levant and
not forgetting Robert Spencer.
Don't
forget Robert Spencer. He's the leading... If you know anything about
Pamela Geller,
yeah. These are the people, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah, really good one. Just read their books, because anything you want to know about this ideology, this cult, well, Robert Spencer, what can we say about Robert Spencer, guys? He's the world leading, I would say, in understanding the whole ideology, the mindset of the Muslim.
Yeah.
Of Islam, and it's so, guys, if you want to get clued up, we will say, please read the Quran, read the Hadith, read the Surahs, but also these great people, as what Kel's mentioned, and as you say, Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer, Bill Warner, leading people, you know, get to understand your enemy, because, ladies and gentlemen, Islam is your enemy. They say they're a religion of peace. Do not believe a word of that.
That's it. Don't believe them. Well, have we got time just for me to play another little song? Because I've been working on something.
What, Tim? I was just thinking.
Oh, Tim, while you're setting up, I'm going to share with... yeah, Tim, tune it up, baby.
I'm going to share with Agador and Jeff, who's going to be our guest on Freedom Loving Infidels on the Radio Jihad Network next Tuesday.
And that is
Robert Spencer.
Hello.
Yeah.
Very nice. There you
well,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was, Kel exerting her persuasive powers yet again. And no one can resist Kel's silver tongue charms.
No, they can't. She's got these this mystical spell she weaves upon people.
She has, Kel? Yeah. Yeah, certainly has. anyway,
this, I love you guys.
We're ready to go.
Okay.
This tune is a little something I just put together. The title is "It's Hard Being a Suicide Bomb Instructor," and so here we go. It's hard being a suicide bomb instructor. The classes get smaller every day. Yes, it's hard being a suicide bomb instructor. Jihadis come, jihadis go, but they keep getting blown away. Now Abdul comes to me one night. He's got 15 sticks of dynamite. He says, "Boss, whatever shall I do with this?" I said, "Light the blue touch paper, mate, and then run away. Oh, don't you wait." But he was too slow. Oi, Mohammed, get some more of them virgins out of the freezer, would ya? 72 ought to do it. Yeah, I know, someone else who doesn't know how to handle dynamite. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's hard being a suicide bomb instructor. The classes get smaller every day. Yes, it's hard being a suicide bomb instructor. Jihadis come, jihadis go, but they keep getting blown away. So there we go. That's all I've done so far.
Wow.
There you go, guys. Bravo, bravo.
Well done, Tim. That was absolutely fantastic. Well done, mate. Agador, did you enjoy that, mate?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, bravo.
Thank you very much. I've only just really started it. I was looking at what other tunes I had sort of half done this evening, and I thought, I must bring this one out again, because I worked on it a couple of months ago, and then I put it aside, like I do with a lot of tunes, and then I thought, I'll work on that a bit more, and I thought, I might as well try it out on the guys, and, that, including you in that, Kel, when I say the guys, and try it out and see what they think.
I'm one of the lads.
One of the lads.
You certainly are.
Yeah, that's it. So there we go. So
Well done, Tim. You definitely are a man of talent, and it's fantastic that you're part of our panel. And God bless you, Tim. You do great work. It's great to have you. Isn't it, Kel? Isn't it great to have Tim about? Because you never know what he's going to do.
Never know what that man is going to come up with. But you know what I've really enjoyed tonight is that Agador was with us all evening.
Fantastic.
And Agador, we have an open invitation for you to come back and be part of the panel anytime you like. Me and Jeff,
please.
We were just so thrilled to have you join us.
Well, it's always a pleasure. You guys have really been an inspiration, and just seeing the kind of things the EDL does over in the UK, really on the front lines of this Islamist insurgency into our nations. It's clued me into, yet another problem on top of all of the others that the statists are putting on our heads at this point. I'm just really happy to be associated with all of you guys. Happy and proud that, you let this, you let this American, stick his cane in once in a while. It's really nice, and I appreciate you.
It's a great honor to have you here, Agador, because you bring so much to the panel with your views of things and different things you're telling me tonight. I didn't have a clue that some parts in America is really bad. I do know, like Dearborn, but what you told me, as I say, that was new to me. So yeah, thank you so much. And as you say, this is an open invitation. We just love having you a part of our panel because you bring so much to the forum there. But I was going to say, come back any time, please, Agador. You're great. And can you plug your show now? What time is it on for our listeners? Because
all right. The show is called The Unpleasant Blind Guy, and currently I have it on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look for the channel called The Unpleasant Blind Guy. It's right there. I usually put out something once a week. You'll see it there. I also am located at UBG Contact on the Twitter. Contact me there with questions, comments, awesome American suggestions, hopeful story suggestions, things like that. I'm always happy to hear from anyone that's got anything positive to say. And I just want to say that this latest show is going to be kind of plugged into what we're talking about here. I'm calling it All American Dimitude. We've got part one this week, and hopefully going to have part two and maybe even a part three out. Because I feel myself an ally of the English Defense League, Restore Australia, all these people who are working against political Islam. It's a very real problem, people. It's a very real problem for the West. It's a very real problem for civilization. And I want to try and do my part to help in any way I can. And thank you, Jeff, and back to you guys.
Well, what can I say? Agador, ladies and gentlemen, you get a chance because it's going to be, I think, can be very interesting, the shows that Agador's got lined up. And as you say, you can catch them on YouTube and on the Twitter. So there you go. I was going to say, I need to get a link. You need to link me up there, Agador. I've got to catch up with these shows.
I'll send you the link.
Oh, bless you, Kel.
No worries,
Bob. But I'm going to promote my other great panelists here tonight. Well, my producer of the show this evening, our very own Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox blogger, with her own great shows, and she's a busy lady in all departments. Shall we say that, Kel? Was that... Would you promote your shows and what you and Tim are up to?
I am RFB Radio Wow. I'm Kel Fritzy, and we are RFB Wow because we have Wow shows. We tape Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We tape Wednesdays with Mike Holt of Restore Australia on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and then I fly solo on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. There you go, Jeff.
But not forgetting, Kel, that you do the Rooster Crow show.
Yes,
as well?
I do. I also produce for the Rooster Crows at Midnight, and that is Outcry Radio. And you can hear Rooster at 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I also do the Liberty GB Weekly Roundup Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Right now, 3 p.m. until the UK changes their clocks back. But it is 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
And don't forget,
so there you go,
Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen. You can understand when I say that she's like a dynamo because she's such a busy lady. A big salute to you, Kel, for all the work that you do. I really appreciate what you do for this show, and I know a lot of our other radio hosts appreciate what you do for them as well, all the great works. But put that to the side for the moment because you're fantastic, as you know, Kel. I say where you are. Tim knows you are. Agador knows you are. But we've got to think of our very own Tim.
Oh, yeah, I have to admit.
I have to admit that
Tim Burton, Mr. Kitty Cat, meow, is
the
best co-host I could ask for on Monday. Like, Tim is the best co-host I could ever ask for when I do RFB on Monday afternoons. Like, oh, my goodness. Tim, you're a godsend.
Well, it's very kind of you to say, Carol.
I'm going to pass it over to you, Tim, because you play a very important part in the anti-jihadist movement with Liberty GB. Well, more of a, on the political side of things with Liberty GB. So maybe you'd like to promote the show and when people, when our listeners can catch up with this great show that you host, Tim.
Well, yeah. Now, originally when Liberty GB started the radio show, they were looking to put a show out on Tuesdays, typically, and we had one or two pilot episodes, and then it looked like it was shaping up nicely. But then we had a break, I think, around Christmas time, and when everybody came back after Christmas, they decided that they would like to do a sort of shorter, snappier show, and in fact, rather than for me hosting that, they asked if they could actually have Kel hosting it, because they really like Kel's style when it comes to doing
well,
the well, there is that.
Well, who
there
doesn't like that?
There is that. But what you should be finding now is that every Sunday from now on, there should be a Liberty GB weekly roundup that Kel is going to be hosting herself in conjunction with Paul Weston and one of the other Liberty GB Executive Council. I mean, it's quite likely to be Jack Buckby, but it might be one of the others as well. So that's something that Kel's going to be doing on a regular basis in the near future. So I think we should give Kel a big hand for taking that on as well, in addition to all the other shows that she does. But we had one last Sunday, and it went down so well. I think the Liberty GB team really, really like Kel as a host.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's
It did do well. It resonated quite nicely in that it made page two, and for a young show to do that, I was rather shocked by that, because I thought that young shows, they take a little bit of time to gravitate with people. But when I went in to check the show stats and just to see how it was going, I was thinking, oh my God, we're probably buried in page six or something. This is out of 88 pages, some odd. And when I saw that Liberty GB Weekly Roundup was actually on page two, I was flabbergasted. I was so pleased. And, yeah, the show is resonating. It's getting out there. I'm very proud of being the moderator for Liberty GB Radio.
I was going to say, not only that, though, Kel, I personally believe, with Paul Weston and some of the videos that Paul's done, YouTube, absolutely, you know, the one I'm a racist, that sort of thing has resonated. That went sort of viral.
Yeah.
And people's got Paul's message, and, of course, Liberty GB, it's the way that people are looking towards we need change, and it's we need a political party like Liberty GB, definitely, urgently. This country needs something like the Liberty GB. So I'm following very closely because I do believe that Liberty GB is the way forward. Because there's no way that I would vote for these others, that, you know, the Camerons, the Cleggs, anything like that. It's a wasted vote. You know, they're not doing nothing for my country and for my people. And I do believe that people like Paul and other people that's involved with Liberty GB are the way forward where politics is concerned. We, as the English Defence League, as an organisation, we're not politically orientated towards anybody, you know. But I would say that when you listen to Paul and you listen to other great people associated with Paul and Liberty GB, they're saying all the things like what I say, what people, you know, like from the English Defence League have been saying for many years. So it's definitely refreshing that we've got a new party out there that does see the threat of Islam and want to do something positively about it, and they've got a way that they can do it. So God bless them and for their ventures. And I'm going to be following very closely over the over the time and see how they progress. I do believe that that they are the upcoming political party. I'm not worried about all the others, but I'm definitely looking forward. So I'm going to promote them as much as I possibly can because I want to see them get the votes. I like Paul Weston. I like Liberty GB. So there you go, guys. And I'm not politically orientated to anybody, but I really like what they stand for. I like their mission statement. I like where they stand. But that's just me. I'm just me. This is my own personal view. You know, everybody's got their own views, but that's me. Just old Jeff.
Oh, I think that that is certainly a viewpoint I like to hear.
No, thank
you. Of course, I'm biased.
Thank you, Jeff. No, but well, it's good because it's good to see, and that's what I said. It's good for yourself, Agador, and you people are so important. I do feel very humble sometimes that you know that I've got to know people like yourself over the time. We've known each other quite a while, and like people like Tim and Agador and all the great people like Tommy, Sonny, you know. You're inspirational. You different things that you all do. You bring things, so important things that people really want to hear. You know, Tim's got his own ways that he does things. Agador, you know, you've got the American perspective, but at the same time, you sort of stand with us. And it's just things like that that it's great to know that we stand together. We are as one. But it's different. It's great to have the different ways that we look at things as individual people, isn't it, as well? So there you go.
Oh, that's it, Jeff, in that we have to defend free speech. And we have to defend people like Tim Burton and Sonny England. We have to defend these people.
Mm.
We have to defend Agador. We have to defend myself. We have to defend Ezra Levant. We have to be out there, and we have to defend our right to say our piece, and we have to have our voices heard, and we should be able to do it unfettered. This is unacceptable, and people like Tim Burton is being taken to a court for what? A Twitter. And
yeah.
What
it's persecution,
you know,
isn't
what
it?
Tim
it's,
did, and
I
know Tim is
freedom.
Right here, and I'm speaking like Tim, you know, like he's probably in the other room, but you know, he's my Tim, he's your Tim, and he's Agador's Tim, but I am speaking in the third person, in which I say that people like Tim Burton should not even have to see a courtroom with a magistrate, because what did he do? He called out a person who was lying.
Hmm?
That is all that Tim did. This is why I'm so furious. This is why I had all these I just get furious about this, Jeff.
Think, as I said before, and Tim, I've said this before, I think the only thing that that they've actually pulled you for, really, and they think they got a case to answer is calling them a Muslim scumbag. I think calling them Muslim and a scumbag in two words. I think that is.
Well, he is a scumbag.
Yeah, but I'm saying that to them that's slander, and I don't know. I'm not.
That's the point, that under Sharia law, it is slander. That's the point. They're instituting Sharia laws and trying to make them apply to British law. Yes, that's right.
Well, you could.
We can say that we can see blasphemy laws at work in our own country, which is disgraceful. It's disgraceful that Sharia law and blasphemy laws. And this has all been brought about by the OIC, this big thing that they got together. They wanted to, this is the reason why Obama's been trying to change the Constitution, because he's been told that that's the way to go. But he's going to have problems because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The people of the US will not let this happen. And I know the good people of this country, you know, with the way things going, we will stand
up. I'm going to ask Agador about that, the First Amendment, and that is the freedom of speech. Agador, that's under threat as well right now.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's completely under threat. I mean, they statists are statists worldwide, and they see that they have to quash freedom of speech. That's all. That's why they're also trying to confiscate our arms, because they know that as long as we stay armed, you know, the government has to fear the people. Without that, our freedom of speech is definitely under attack. It still is under attack.
Yes.
And this has gone on for many years, and it's just getting worse now. And I mean, I think the only way that Obama could directly change the Constitution would be if there were an Article 5 convention and we tried to change it, and that was stacked against us. So what he's doing is he's ignoring our Constitution, and people are so afraid of being called racists that they just don't say, all right, well, just impeach the bastard and get him out of office. He doesn't know how to uphold our laws. So that's what's going on, is people are ignoring our Constitution. And sadly, we've got people here in the United States, dimmies, clueless people, and others, who are letting him do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That is what I find frightening.
I would like to speak with Agador privately about this, because there's a lot of things that are concerning me that's going on in the United States, and in particular Sheila Jackson Lee, in that she is penning bills that she would just simply send to the administration in the United States, to the White House. And that, we're going to make our own executive orders, and we're going to make Obama sign them. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, well, here's something else.
And by the way, hey, Agador, did you realize your Constitution is over 400 years old?
Oh, yeah, I know. I learned something then. Yeah. No, I don't think so. But, you know, here's another goodie for you guys. Now, of course, in the UK, Reuters is your you know, one of your backbone news agencies. Over here is the Associated Press, and I just found out today, not too long before I had a Skype conversation with a certain someone, that the Associated Press is sending signals out now that they're being frozen out of the White House. So, I mean, what amounts to one of our core news agencies is basically being told to bugger off by the White House. This is very disturbing to me, because they are they're by no means a right wing or conservative news body. In fact, usually they lean left, and even they are being frozen out of the White House, and that just sends a big chill up my spine, not a thrill up my leg, Mr. Chris Matthews, you jerk.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go with that. That's a lot of fun, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a real treat.
I was going to say, guys, that I've just looked at it. I can't believe we've almost done enough. We've done an hour almost.
English lady is going to kick us. Yeah.
I was going to say, I've just been looking down. I've got a tune. Should we play that Won't Back Down by Tom Petty? What do you reckon, guys, to end the show this evening? Is that a good... Do you like that, guys? Ecuador, do you like that one?
You go for it, Jeff.
All righty.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you, Tim, and Phil, and Ecuador. Thank you so much for being a part of our team this evening. Fantastic, some of the things you've been saying tonight.
Ecuador, please come back.
Yes, please do. Please do, buddy. You're welcome anytime. You've got an open invitation, Ecuador. You know that, Rob. So,
all right, well, if there's free food or a chance to jaw, I'll be there.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Anyway, from us all, we're gonna close the show for this evening. The English Defence League radio show will be back tomorrow night. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night it's Comedy Central. And we normally do something a little bit special on a Friday as we're approaching the weekend. we let our air down. What air we've got left? Well, me. I don't know about Aston. He's got long flowing locks, he says. They're silver locks. They call him the silver fox or the silver cat, is it, Tim? I can't remember that.
Well, it'll have to be the silver cat. No,
the silver cat. Yeah.
No, he's only the silver fox on Mondays at RFB Radio Wow.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's put the rights to it, isn't it, Cal? So, anyway, thank you all so much tonight for being here with myself, Jeff. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. It's been a little bit extended this evening. I hope you've enjoyed the archives. It's been really interesting, some great conversation pieces. So if you're listening in the archives, please do, guys. And from myself, from Tim, from Kel, and from Agador, from Sunny, from Tommy, and from everybody associated with this show, we'll catch you again tomorrow night. So with that, we're going to play the exit theme for the night as we won't back down, Tom Petty. Take it away, Tom. Cheers, guys. Tom Petty, or we won't back down. He's gone. Thank you.
Oh my God, what'd you do there?
I know, it just continues through. But just before we go, I'd like to, because I should have done it last time, but I want to say our thoughts and prayers go out to all our boys and girls that are serving out in Afghanistan, all of our military teams involved, what's going in there. And we do know, and I've been told going back a while ago, that some of them do manage to listen to the show. So
guys, we're thinking of you, and that's the reason what we do what we do. You're doing a great job. Keep safe. Hope you come home soon with you and be with your families. So anyway, I'm going to. This is the English Defence League. We're signing off for tonight. Thank you once again, Agador. It's been a pleasure, and of course yourself, Kel. God bless you.
Absolutely.
I think we've had a great show tonight. Thank you, guys. And I'll speak to you a bit later, Kel. Okay, Agador. I'll speak to you soon, buddy.
All right. And yes, love to sweet Sue as well. Prayers for you, honey.
And to call Sue, bless her. She's fantastic, isn't she? So okay, this is Jeff.
Thanks,
I adore. Radio show signing off for the night. Good night, guys. God bless you all. No sleep.
Good night, everybody.